much about.
All right, well, at first we started slow. We started real slow. And, you know, that's all right. That's okay, because sometimes in life you're going to start slow. That's okay. We told ourselves, hey, we're going to start slow. We're going to keep going fast. We're going to start slow, but we're always, always going to finish fast.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wands. Sorry, Wands.
Wow. All right. Couple of comments that come to mind immediately. Number one is that's in the Interview Hall of Fame.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up with that?
Good question. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sounds great.
Roll another one.
Keep yelling, it really helps.
Just like the other one.
Penis.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Damn, that girl's tight.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No.
Roll. Roll another one.
Let me tell you something I know about the Negro.
Just like the other one.
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
This one seems to be out and
sounds great.
I don't have another cent.
Well, that's a really hard question because,
when the one got that joint,
tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
Just pass it around.
Now let's go get some pancakes.
When the one got that joint, my friend.
A nightmare start.
And now,
these guys, we don't like these guys.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:35. It's Friday, the 26th of September.
And it's really Friday this time. We're not
this time,
sitting on a throne of lies like yesterday, right?
I never got over that. All day I was
very painful
just
what Ralph pulled
up
for us yesterday. Yeah. Got us all worked up at the end of the show that it was Friday.
Bastard.
But we made it. We're here, and it's going to be a terrific show today. We're going to start with something fun, though, because it is Friday.
Okay.
I played a little bit in the open of the video that went viral this week. Almost 5 million people since Sunday have seen the video of that high school football player from Eastview in Texas, Apollos Hester. He's
right.
The guy who gave the big inspirational speech after he's a running back for the team, got a touchdown. They had a big come-from-behind victory, and he did a post-game interview that just inspired us all.
He is a preacher.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's phenomenal. So motivational. Well, I'm happy to say that our friends, the Gregory Brothers,
yes!
have done the remix.
Yes!
It's been a while since we've had a Gregory Brothers remix on the show, hasn't it?
That's so exciting.
And they have done a great job with it, so I thought y'all might enjoy hearing a little remix of Apollos Hester.
You guys had one heck of a game tonight.
You're going to battle. You're going to fight. Win or lose, you're going to be all right. Regardless of the scoreboard, you can do anything that you burn for. Do it for us, do it for one another, do it for yourself, and do it for each other. Regardless of the scoreboard, regardless of the scoreboard, scoreboard.
Come on, by the way, right?
Yeah.
So good.
Great.
So good. Oh, there's more. And shouldn't he be on the speaking circuit by now?
Yeah, I would think so.
Shouldn't he be doing, like, college college graduation speeches and
Microsoft
events,
yeah.
Startups, everything.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie, they had us the first half. We started slow, but we're always gonna finish fast. It's gonna be hard, it's gonna be tough. If you fall down, just get up. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, your friends are there to help you. All the hard work you put in, you might go out. you're gonna battle, you're gonna fight, win or lose, you're gonna be alright. Regardless of the scoreboard, you can do anything that you want.
Ask why this is so much better than most of the songs on Amp Radio.
What's up with that?
That's a good question.
All right, Big Finish.
Wow. You're gonna battle, you're gonna fight, win or lose, you're gonna be alright. Regardless of the scoreboard, you can do anything that you want for. Do it for us, do it for one another, do it for yourself, and do it for each other. Regardless of the scoreboard, regardless of the scoreboard, scoreboard.
Patriots. All right, guys, we'll send it back to you.
How about that? There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Gregory Brothers.
Come on.
Back on K-Rock. Good stuff.
This world would be a worse place without them.
Absolutely.
They are fantastic. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It's gross. Like, it's all just ass.
Well, there's some of that, sure. We have Melissa Fumero, by the way.
Yes, we do.
We've had him before from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. We have Phil Kogan, who is the host of The Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm. Muggs, prepare to feel bad about yourself. Okay. I'm sure he's going to come in here on a bicycle.
But don't you get the idea that Muggs already feels bad about himself all the time?
But there's something about when Phil stops by, because, you know, Phil was there years ago offering to help Muggs, you know, get out of this physical slump that he's in, and Muggs never followed up.
Like personally help him, work out, you know, be in charge of his schedule, the whole thing.
Right. And Muggs, obviously didn't follow up on that. And now, you know, Phil continues to be in the best shape of his life and continues to do everything and go everywhere and be all things. And Muggs has just been on a downward spiral ever since. I mean, Muggs' day revolves around ice cream sandwiches now.
Yeah, well, mine do too. Does that make me a loser? All right, yes. Movie beat, because it's Friday. We've got your tickets for the Long Beach Comic Con, which is coming up about a half hour from now, for those of you that get up early.
Very cool.
And Antoine Fuqua. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure and say that correctly, because it could be very bad. The director of The Equalizer, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about.
It looks awesome.
Denzel Washington. Man, oh, man. Last time they worked together, Denzel got the Best Actor Award, Oscar, for Training Day, which was fantastic. RJ Bell is going to give us some picks for the NFL, and we have some more stuff to give away as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, Ralph, what's going on down there at the end of the table?
Jeez. Nice.
It's like an a-hole sale. And you're moving. Oh, Pop Rats are quiet.
Oh, they really are.
There you go.
Keeping their distance today.
Behind the bushes. Justin Bieber's hurt. That's good news. He revealed on Twitter this week that he busted his eardrum cliff diving.
So that doesn't sound terminal, though.
Yeah, that's too bad. But he may need surgery to repair it.
Okay.
So after all the years of
surgery.
Pain he's inflicted on my ears, I'm glad he's finally getting some karma.
That's true.
He could die in surgery. That's true, Kevin. That's way to see. That's what I like about you. You always look at the upside.
Hey, maybe they could take out his vocal cords while he's under.
Oh, think of all the possibilities. Little made her stage debut Wednesday night in London's West End, the very prestigious West End. It's London's Broadway. Yeah. When I say West End, you think Broadway.
Is it better? Is it considered better than Broadway? Or the same? Or
same. It's the same.
Okay.
It's equivalent.
I didn't know.
They've been doing plays there longer because it's London and all.
All right.
But she starred in the revival of the David Mamet play Speed the Plow. Now, the show doesn't officially open until October the 2nd, but this is what they were called previews, and it was the first show. And as you can imagine, Lindsay hit the stage, was professional, sharp, knew her lines, impressed everyone,
right,
and brought in a sold-out audience.
But seriously.
Oh, wait a minute. The theater was half-filled. She stumbled out on stage, reportedly struggled with her lines, forgot where she was in the script a few times, asking someone off stage for her next line.
Ha-ha!
I would watch that show. I would go to that play.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
Reportedly, Lindsay even wrote some of the dialogue in a prop book, which she held for the entire show on stage.
Oh, no.
I don't think Lindsay understands how plays work.
That
it's
material.
It's not like a movie. Mm. You can say, can we go again? What's that line? What do I do there? The audience has to believe it's really happening in front of them at I saw a still from that. It might have been their the bow at the end of the show or something like that. And it looked like Richard Schiff was on that stage with her, from the actor from
he
the
West Wing. He is on that West stage Wing. For her. Yeah.
Really? And he's on Manhattan right now? What's he doing in a play with Lindsay Lohan? He's better than that.
He's got to be asking himself.
He's starring in the West End of London. That's something.
Yeah, but with Lindsay Lohan, doesn't that just degrade the entire performance?
You can't pick who your co-stars are. That's not your job as an actor. If someone says, dude, you want to do Mamet in London on the West End, you say yes.
And then they say, Lindsay Lohan's going to be one of your co-stars, then you still say yes?
Yes, that's your job.
Okay.
It's like people coming out saying, you want to do a radio show with Bean? We don't have a choice. That's our job. We do a radio show in the morning. We can't pick who we do it with.
Well, I felt bad for Toby, I'll tell you that.
Toby's his name on West
Wing. West Wing, yes. It's been a long time since he's been Toby.
Well, it's probably still his best known acting credit, I would think. People got it.
Some people don't remember that a long time.
All right, guys.
And Bryan Cranston continues to be one of the best people on the planet. A young man named Brad Joyner, 18 years old, diagnosed with brain cancer, has come up with his bucket list. He's trying to live his life to the fullest. Since no one knows how much longer he has. So on his list was swimming with sharks, getting behind the wheel of a 1967 Shelby Mustang, and having a conversation with the star of Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston. Wanted to talk to him. So Cranston got on Skype with Brad, and they had a lengthy conversation about life and all things Breaking Bad, and just spent a lot of time with him, which I thought was nice. Then when Brian hung up, he sent an ice cream truck to Brad's neighborhood to buy all of his friends and family free ice cream.
Awesome.
Driving around the neighborhood. Kevin didn't care until ice cream came up. But yeah, now he's interested. But a very cool thing to do from a very cool guy. And you guys excited about Blackish? Have you seen Blackish with Anthony Anderson?
I haven't. I taped
very
it.
Very funny show.
Is it good?
I think it's very entertaining.
Good.
Did very well. For itself, 11 million total viewers in its premiere, keeping nearly all of Modern Family's audience, which was its lead-in. So that's a good sign.
Wow.
Good news for ABC. They've been looking for a series to team up with Modern Family for some time. So far, we've had Super Fun Night. Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
With Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
See, she was that really heavy set, but she danced a lot.
That happened, yeah.
That was comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they had Mixology. Do you remember Mixology?
It wasn't terrible.
Oh, Lisa, just stop it.
I liked the concept.
You stop it right now, young lady.
No, you can't like just the concept.
I will turn this show around.
At least they
the
tried
execution
to do
also
different.
Matters.
It
yes.
made my eyes burn. My eyes will smell that show forever. It was horrific. It's 10 people in a bar in one night, and how they're all picking up. It's just like it was an endless, endless night with people that were really unlikable.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's gone. It's gone.
What?
It's gone, what? Lisa.
Yeah, no, I heard you.
Ugh. I'm with you.
And then they carpool.
Shut up.
Lisa is the worst television watcher ever.
She really is.
I'm the worst and the best. I'm
no,
all
just the worst,
no,
I think.
No, no, no.
I'm pretty much just the worst.
All.
No, I think you just got the worst covered.
Remember, I used to think Bean had great musical taste because
right.
he knows every band that's ever made an album. Then yeah. I just realized he just likes everything.
Right. He buys everything.
That doesn't make him have better taste. Same with Lisa in TV.
Yes.
She watches every
no
show.
No discrimination whatsoever.
That has ever been on television.
Right.
She'll watch it.
I give it a whirl.
Sometimes you give it more than a whirl.
Yeah.
And sometimes more.
Yeah. Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. These folks were born on September the 26th. Oh, before I get to birthdays, Long Beach Comic Con's this weekend.
That's right.
I'm going to be there. They've asked me to come down to be a special guest. I'm going to do a couple panels. I'm doing one on Saturday, another one on Sunday, all around the Cape Crusader himself, Batman. And then I'll be signing copies of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet on Saturday and Sunday afternoons as well. Anyway, it's going to be a blast down there at the Long Beach Convention Center. If you're a comic book fan and you want to attend the con, I've got 2-day passes for the whole weekend.
Why?
We're going to play a little game about superheroes. If you know your superheroes, call now. Get in line, 1-800-520-1067. I'll ask you trivia. And then I will give you a chance to win tickets to the Long Beach Comic Con this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Linda Hamilton. Remember her from Terminator?
I remember her biceps.
Yeah, she was buff. 58 years old today. Actor Jim Caviezel. Jesus. who has a computer or something. I'm not sure how it works, that show, but he's 46 years old. Serena Williams is 33. Christina Milian, she's 33 years old as well. And Catfish host Neve Schulman. Or is it Neve? Neve, right?
I think it's Neve.
Yeah. He is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got the movie beat coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Right now, though, if you are a comic book fan, boy, it's nice to be able to give something this early for miserable people who have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Right?
I agree.
Long Beach Comic Con is happening this weekend at the Long Beach Convention Center. You can still get some tickets at longbeachcomiccon.com, or you can call us now at 1-800-520-1067. You have a chance to earn them with something we call the Comic Contest.
Comic-Con, everybody wants to go to Comic-Con. You can meet Ralph Furman, Kevin and Bean, got your way in, look out, here comes the Comic Contest.
Nerds!
Hey, hey.
My people. Don't call my people names.
How's this one work today, Ralph?
Well, a lot of news recently about The Rock going to be starring in a comic book movie. It has been announced he will play Black Adam. Which was very exciting news.
Sure.
Because Black Adam, of course, Kevin, is the arch nemesis of...
White...
Ugh.
I don't know.
Shazam.
Sure.
Shazam.
Whatever.
Captain Marvel. So I thought there's a lot of comic book characters with colors in their names. Super villains, superheroes, like Black Adam. The black, of course, is right there in the name. I thought what I'll do is I'll give you the secret identity of the supervillain or superhero, and you have to give me their colorful secret name.
Okay. All right. Sounds simple enough. Okay.
Let's begin with Blaze.
Yep, Blaze.
Is your first name Denny?
No.
Yeah. Blaze. Blaze should be a superhero. That's a superhero name right there.
Totally. Blaze from Irwindale.
All right, Blaze. Here is your secret identity. You have to tell me the name of the colorful comic book character. Felicia Hardy is her name. What is?
Black Canary?
No, sir. Black Cat, you were very close, but not close enough.
Nope. Sorry. Thank you. Let's go to Hector in Long Beach. Hi, Hector.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Hector. Excuse me. Ted Kord. Ted Kord is your secret identity. Need the colorful comic book name.
No idea. Sorry.
How about more of a hint, Ralph?
Yeah, really. Let it slip earlier. Blue Beetle. That's the Blue Beetle. Yeah, sorry.
What kind of a superhero is a beetle?
You don't understand, man.
I'm saying Blue Beetle.
The Blue Beetle, yes.
What is
he's one of three legendary Blue Beetles.
And what is he? It's not, you're not talking about the singer. Know. You're talking about the little bug?
You don't know
beetle?
About the power of the magic scarab.
What does
scarab.
The beetle do?
The scarab attaches to your spine, and then you have powers. You get wings, and you can, like Jaime Reyes did.
Then
you don't know, man.
I don't know.
Let's go to Hugo. In Covita.
Let's see if Hugo can win one. We're 0 for 2 so far. Hugo, here's your secret identity. Give me the colorful comic book character, Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner.
Green Lantern?
Green Lantern. Well done. You Nailed are going, it. Sir, to the Long Beach Comic Con.
Very happy to include a woman in this contest.
Stop it.
Oh, nice.
Stop it. It's early. They're not up. They're still busy having hot sex. All the female comic book
fans.
Oh,
it's Darren in Los Angeles. I'm
sorry. Not a woman at all.
Sorry.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Darren, here's your secret identity. Give me the colorful comic book name, Dinah Lance. Dinah Lance.
Dinah Lance.
Yeah.
Wow. Got everyone but that.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say, too, by the way.
Mm.
Dinah Lance.
Dinah Lance.
No idea.
Mm. Black Canary. Black Canary.
Black Canary.
Yeah, from the DC world. Sorry about that.
So that other one is a beetle? That's
Stop
what you're
it.
Saying to me?
Stop it. You don't know.
I don't. Let's go.
Hey, Ralph, who wins between the Black Cat and the Black Canary?
Oh, wow. I would think Black Canary because she has that sonic cry.
Right? Of course. Right? Yeah, I did forget about the sonic cry.
I forgot about the sonic cry.
Cruz.
Yo.
Hey, Cruz. Who do you think wins between Black Cat and Black Canary?
That sonic cry has got to win.
That's what I'm saying,
right?
Sure. Uh-huh. All right, here's your secret identity. I need the colorful comic book name. Wanda Maximoff. Wanda Maximoff.
Wanda Maximoff. That's also, goddammit. Yellow and...
The Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Scarlet Witch from the Avengers.
I like when they say it almost at the same time. Oh, Scarlet Witch, yeah.
My people are struggling this morning.
What, are we giving away one?
Yeah.
They're tough questions, Ralph. I got to be honest.
They're not tough at all.
All right, let's go to a girl.
These are major comic book characters.
Well, they're clearly
major.
Ralph, they're clearly tough in that only one person has won.
They're not tough. These people are weak.
Okay. You consider Blue Beetle a major comic book character?
Yes, he saved the world.
He's hardly the Man of Steel. Come on.
He stopped Max Lord, for God's sakes. He died for us.
Blue Beetle. That's so bogus. Dennis in Roland Heights. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Dennis, did you know who the Blue Beetle was?
Yeah, Ted Kord.
Thank you.
Maxwell Lord.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Dennis. Somebody who knows something. Here, I'm going to give you something. You, Oliver Queen.
A Green Arrow.
There we go, Green Arrow.
All right. Give him an easy one. Good.
Well, because he earned it, because he knew.
All right.
He knew what was going on.
He gave you even more information than he asked for, I think.
That's right.
Let's go to Robert in Culver City. Hi.
How you doing?
Good, Robert. Here is your secret identity. Give me the colorful comic book character, Natalia Romanova.
Black Widow.
Black Widow. That's right, nice, sir. Well done.
We have time for one more, Ralph.
One more?
One more.
All right.
And it's going to be Matt in Huntington Beach.
Matt, here's your secret identity. I need the name of the colorful superhero, John Smith. John Smith. I'll give you a hint. He's an android.
Blue Waffle.
Did you say Blue Waffle? That's a great guess.
He's an android, and he goes by John Smith.
Yeah, you got me there.
The red tornado. I'm sorry.
I want to give Matt tickets for Blue Waffle. I would like that.
We've got extras to spare.
All right.
Give him a pair of tickets for Blue Waffle.
Just for the comedy. Nicely
Thank
done,
you.
Matt, and thanks for playing the
Go
game.
Go to BlueWaffle.com to find out more.
Our friend Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race on CBS, joins us later on today. Also, actress Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and director Antoine Fuqua. It's a pretty big show. It is Friday. That means Ralph is here with the Movie Beat. And Ralph, this looks to me like another one of those weekends where there's a little something for everyone. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, there is an odd, eclectic mix of movies this weekend, starting with...
Are any of them The Equalizer?
There may be. There may be one of those films later on. We'll
Back
talk
to you.
About it. But first of all, let's talk about the films in limited release, including a modernized version of the classic Anton Chekhov novel, The Seagull. You know, Kevin, you read this.
Sure,
You're
of course.
You're a big fan of Russian literature.
It's been performed on stage
many
times.
Tell me.
The play The Seagull?
Play, yeah.
This is set in rural New England in 1984 over a Memorial Day weekend, starring Katie Holmes, William Hurt, Allison Janney, and Jean Reno.
Wow, what a cast.
Great cast. Too bad no one will ever see them perform in this movie. Here are some clips from the trailer of Days and Nights.
You get cooped up in the country long enough, you start doing things to make life interesting. I got married and had a kid.
She's like a deer. Can't leave a good grape on the vine too long. I've got it covered.
Hey.
So, Stephen, what exactly is it that you do?
Nothing.
Dad?
There's no firing of guns on the property. I'm talking to you.
Hey, careful, it's loaded.
Oh, there, something happened.
What's so funny?
No. So that's going to be in theaters.
So that's a movie?
Two Faces of January is another film in limited release this weekend, starring Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst, along with Oscar Isaac. It's a thriller about a con artist, his wife, and a stranger who all have to flee Greece after one of them is caught up in the death of a private detective. I just don't have any room in my life for any more Kirsten Dunst performances. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm all full up.
Sort of agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Here is a scene where Kirsten Dunst and Viggo Mortensen are arguing in front of Oscar Isaac.
Of course, we can't go back to New York. We can't go anywhere in the States because Chester's business ventures have been such a huge
There's three
success.
Of us here at the table. I'm sure Rydell doesn't want to hear you whine about how homesick you are.
All right, why don't you lay off her?
Who? My wife?
Don't rise to it.
No, let him. Let's hear what's on his mind. Don't you ever speak to me like that again.
Or what?
Ugh.
Yeah!
Or I'll make you watch this movie we're in. That'll teach you.
Then all hell breaks loose then, is that?
I think so, yeah. Box Trolls opens up this weekend for the kids. Story of a young orphaned boy who was raised by underground cave-dwelling trash collectors. You know how that is. They live inside the boxes.
It was also a checkoff play, wasn't it?
I don't believe so. No.
It looks creative to me.
It looks creative. It looks adorable. Yeah. Great cast as well. Ben Kingsley lends his voice to this project, as does Jared Harris, Nick Frost. Looks like a great cast. I believe Simon Pegg also is in this film, The Box Trolls. Here are some clips from the trailer.
They transform treasures into incredible inventions, careful never to be seen.
Who's there?
By human eyes.
I want every box troll gone.
Who are you, boy?
I'm a box troll.
Then let's see you fit in your box.
Please help us.
Box troll, come out, come out.
No more hiding, right?
Right.
I will destroy every last box troll in this town.
Looks cute. If you got the kids.
It looks cuter than that sounded, I think.
No, that sounded pretty good.
Okay.
And The Equalizer, as Kevin mentioned, also opens up this weekend. Antoine Fuqua and Denzel Washington are reunited as director and star. Chloe Grace Moretz is also in this film. It's about a man who puts his mysterious past behind him, has dedicated himself to a quiet new life where he doesn't have to deal with violence or kicking ass. But when he meets a young girl that needs his help, he can't just stand by. No! No! The Russian gangsters will pay!
He has that stare that can just makes me pee my pants. Like, I'm scared of him.
Denzel Washington?
Yep.
Oh, thought maybe
he's got that look.
Fuqua.
No.
Yeah. This is based, of course, on a wildly popular television show that you probably don't remember, starring Edward Woodward, that I loved, called The Equalizer. A story of a man who used to be in the British Secret Service, retired, but then helped people out in New York City. This is the same premise. A guy who's retired out of the Secret Service business steps up to stop the bad guys. Here is a Denzel in a scene from The Equalizer. Kind of given that fear that Kevin talked about, he's instilling it in one of the bad guys.
I have no feelings about you one way or the other. You're like lint or a bottle cap. You're just a thing to remove.
The men I killed, your men, I gave them a chance. They made their decision. I'm giving you the opportunity to make yours. I've done some bad things in my life. I promised someone that I love very much that I would never go back to being that person. But for you, I'm going to make an exception.
Oh, no, you did!
Dude.
It is on.
It is on.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
The Equalizer's in theaters everywhere this week, and that's our pick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I know why you're here, Ralph, and we don't have time for that.
Yeah, we do.
By the way, we have time for it.
We don't have time
for that.
We got plenty
of time. Hey, can I do something real fast here, Ralph, before you make fun of me again?
Last night, and I know you don't care about baseball, Ralph.
Right,
but
so
last
move on.
Night, no, but listen to me. Listen. Last night was one of those goosebump moments, even if you don't care about baseball. It was like something out of a Hollywood movie script. Derek Jeter, 19 seasons with the New York Yankees, 14-time All-Star, won 5 championships with the team, is playing his final game in pinstripes as a Yankee at Yankee Stadium. They're playing the Orioles. They're up 5-2 in the top of the ninth, and the Orioles come back and score 3 runs. So now the game is tied up into the bottom of the ninth. There's a man on base who steps up to the plate but the captain of the Yankees, Derek Jeter, in his final at-bat at Yankee Stadium. Here's what happened.
Now I've got him for the Yankees. Number 2, Derek Jeter.
Well, the script is there. The last page is in Derek's hands. Base hit to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Markakis. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Have any doubt?
Easy fantasy becomes reality. He hit a single, right?
Yeah, but it's scored the winning run.
Win the game at his last at-bat at Yankee Stadium after 19 years, that's amazing.
Was it a single?
It was.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether it's
one
single
base, right? That's one base.
But it's one run is more important.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a drove single, in the guy from third is what he did.
But he got to one base.
Yeah.
He hit the ball and got to first base.
Look, I don't care about baseball either, but I saw that on SportsCenter, and I was like, wow, that's the way to go out. If I were him, I just would have dropped the bat and just walked off, not even run to first.
Unfortunately, he is scheduled to play again this weekend in Boston, but don't, right? Just refuse to take the field. Yeah. Make that your last appearance as a Major League Baseball player.
All right, enough stalling. Let's talk about bean hiding food.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Bean hides food.
And come on, you guys. You can't still be fascinated by this.
It's
unnatural.
I was talking about it at home yesterday afternoon.
This is such a weird thing. Bean is married, and his wife is super nice, kind, understanding, puts up with his BS, and for some reason, he still hides food. The last time we talked about this, it was cookies. What was it?
You've got a secret shelf to hide it. She's short, so she can't reach it. So you put stuff up on a high shelf so that she can't reach it and eat it.
Or
that
is doesn't correct, even yes. know it's there.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
What was it? Cookies?
I think it was cookies. Okay. It was cookies. It was cereal. It was chips. It was all sorts of good stuff.
Oh,
but I
want
to make sure to have in the house. Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's a whole pantry.
Yesterday in the last Showbiz beat, we found out that Bean hides other food as well.
Not just hides it. Takes serious steps to have created a whole new food system for himself that is separate from his wife's that he will not share with her.
He has a refrigerator in his house that his wife doesn't know about.
A hidden refrigerator in the basement.
Why are you applauding that?
Look, here my whole thing, you guys. I can hide dry goods on a shelf that she can't reach, but refrigerated stuff, like I think the example that came up late yesterday was chocolate milk, refrigerated stuff, if I just put that in the community fridge, who knows what the hell goes on when I'm not around? It could be gone. So I thought I need some sort of bonus refrigerator, someplace to put items like that need to be refrigerated. And I got myself a little mini fridge, and it's hidden in the basement behind all the the seasonal stuff, lawn furniture and stuff like that.
Can you see Bean with like a ski mask late at night, bringing it in the fridge, climbing through a window?
Hidden fridge in the basement that your wife doesn't know about for chocolate milk is maybe the most tragic thing I've ever heard.
Why is
Bean hides food?
Why is it tragic that when I'm in the mood for chocolate milk, I like there to be chocolate milk in the house? Why is that so hard to grasp?
Here's the thing. It's not hard to grasp. There's an endless supply of chocolate milk. You can buy two containers at a time just to make sure you don't run out.
Dairies are constantly cranking out bottles and bottles of chocolate milk.
B, you're married to a person who is probably the most understanding person on the planet, let's be honest.
Married to you.
By virtue of the fact that we've been together so long.
And if you said to her, man, I love my chocolate milk, and I sure want it to be there when I want it, she would bend over backwards to make sure that there was always chocolate milk.
But this is – I hear you saying that, and I know that makes sense in the abstract. But here's what I told you when we had this conversation about cereal. I feel like it's a dick move to go to your spouse and say, hey, this is my food. Don't eat it. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
No. You don't have to say that. You could just say, make sure there's enough. Like, don't finish it. And by the way, she would be perfectly happy.
How much does she love chocolate milk?
She very rarely has chocolate milk.
Well, what is the problem?
Why would you hide it?
What is the concern that she's going to guzzle all the chocolate milk and won't leave you any? And second of all, what is this unnatural relationship you have with chocolate milk where it must be on demand at all times? Grow the F up.
What could
you need to invest in a second refrigerator because you must have chocolate milk on demand?
A refrigerator that his wife doesn't know about.
What are you, like a rich 5-year old?
How does your wife not know about? Where is the fridge?
There's a full size basement, and then there's another room kind of at the very back of the basement that has like a big set of it's not doors, it's more like a blanket or something that shields it from the rest of the basement. It seals it off from the rest of the basement.
Okay.
And that's where it's got
and
shelves
you have,
like,
with traps set with grenades. It's got like paint can be pulled out if she goes through there.
Paint cans in there and, you know, like I said, lawn furniture, Christmas decorations, just stuff you don't need or get to very often. And that's why that's where I decided to put the fridge, because there's no way in a million years she ever goes down there. And if she does, it's behind a whole bunch of boxes. Like, I have to move a bunch of boxes in order to get to the fridge to get the milk out.
The work you have to go through to get a glass of chocolate milk, it makes it no longer worth it. And by the way, if the fridge was just down in the regular part of the basement, why do you have to hide it from where you hide it from her? Why does it have to be behind things and boxes? Do you think she would just run down to the basement and constantly be drinking the chocolate milk out of your secret fridge?
This wife that doesn't like chocolate milk?
This whole world you've created for yourself makes no sense whatsoever based on chocolate milk. What? Seriously, it's like a mental illness.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
It is a mental illness,
Let me ask you an honest question. What? When you were raised as a kid, and I know you don't have much of a memory, but is it possible that you were, I don't know, poor enough, like there was never enough food or some kind of way that you
did
sort
criminals
of
break into your home and murder chocolate milk in front of you? So you dedicated your life to saving chocolate milk?
The ISIS of chocolate milk went and just cut the head right off.
None of that is the
case.
Well,
why are you hiding it then in a fridge that your wife doesn't know about?
There's just something. Look, everybody has something in their house that is their comfort thing. I don't know what it is, Ralph. Maybe you look forward to sitting in your favorite chair at the end of the night. Or Kevin, you've got your favorite pajamas or your favorite whatever it is. There's something that you want at your house when you want it at your house. That means, hey, I'm home. And there are times, and not that often. It's not like I'm going through a gallon a day or anything. I don't go through a gallon a week. But there are times where you just go, man, a delicious, refreshing, ice cold glass of chocolate milk would really hit the spot right now. And
so
I just want to make sure
that break out my work gloves and start moving some furniture so that I can get to the secret fridge behind the secret door, behind the blanket in the corner of the basement. Honey, I'm going to be gone for about an hour and a half because I'm going to get a glass of chocolate milk. I'm going to get a dolly and some workmen to help me get to my fridge. You mental patient. This is insane.
You guys don't get it. Why you won't just have a conversation.
This is insane.
I do have a favorite chair at my house that I sit in.
Yeah.
You know what I don't do? Hide it from my wife so she can't sit in it ever.
Yeah. You know why? Because she knows you like it and she lets you sit there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with my wife where we talk to each other.
All right, that's great.
Hey, B, we have one muffin left in our house, and my daughter came to me last night and she said, "You know what, Dad? That muffin, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, so don't eat it." And I said, "No problem. Happy to help you."
Not much of a sacrifice not to eat that muffin, is it?
It's all yours. Yep. No worries.
Wow.
It didn't make me angry.
See, this is how human beings behave.
She didn't have to hide it under her bed?
She didn't have to hide it?
That's how human beings behave, Bean, when they care about each other. It's a phenomenon I know you have no experience with.
I was actually happy to help her. Yeah, it'd be great. I hope you enjoy it.
You guys continue this conversation. I'm going to go get me some chocolate milk right now.
What the ass? Well,
see you in an hour.
Get a forklift.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Well, looks like it's all over.
Aw, I hate that.
Don't you hate when it's all over?
I really do.
Everything is all over?
It was so good
together.
Jason Derulo and Jordan Sparks have gone their separate ways after 3 years of togetherness. Ah, those crazy kids. Hmm. Things just weren't working out, they say, due to their crazy schedules. Listen to rich, famous people. You work a little bit. You travel, I get that. But then you have like a ton of time off where you get to go on yachts together and stuff. There's plenty of togetherness time. You know who doesn't get together this time? The mom who's raising three kids and her husband's working in a factory all day long. And they barely see each other before they pass out at the end of the night and he gets 2 weeks vacation. Shut up with your schedules, rich, famous people. I'm going to get those rich, famous people on the phone.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Explain some things to them. However, there's an upside to celebrity romance. Jason Aldean is marrying a girl named Brittany Kerr. You know, Jason Aldean, he's a big country star.
Huge star. Okay.
And he broke up with his wife, Jessica, when he was caught making out with this Brittany Kerr, who was an American Idol contestant.
Oh.
In a nightclub back in 2012. But now he is marrying the whore. So, see, there's a happy ending to every story.
Is there an awkward age difference involved in the story or no? He's pretty young, right?
He's youngish, but she's younger, so they've got that going on.
Yeah.
But look, she's not just a homewrecker. She's going to be a new wife, so that works out.
So sometimes, if you're the other woman listening and you're wondering, sometimes the man does leave his wife for you.
That's right. So just keep keep that dream alive, because it almost always happens. A lot of interesting anniversaries today. The very first record player was released on this date back in 1887. First time anyone ever played a record.
And that's, to this day, is the only record player that Jack White uses.
That's right. He's still making records for that record player.
Yeah, open up a blog.
Yeah, open up a blog. I thought that was fascinating. Closing arguments began at the O.J. Simpson trial today.
Uh-huh.
In 1995.
Wow.
Can you believe it's that long ago? Yeah.
I'm the juice. Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
He is the juice.
He's a good guy.
And Lindsay Lohan made her debut on the stage in London's West End Wednesday night. It was the first performance of the David Mamet play Speed the Plow that they've revived there in the UK. She starred along veteran actor Richard Schiff from TV's West Wing. And British actor Nigel Lindsay also performs in the show. It's a three-person show. And Lindsay, as you can imagine, was really, really excellent. Oh, wait a minute. No, she forgot many of her lines, was yelling to someone offstage for her next line in the middle of the play.
What's my line?
And apparently had written some of the dialogue on a prop book, which she held on to for the entire show and kept looking down and referring to. I can't imagine anything more distracting than watching an actor trying to read dialogue off a prop in the middle of a play.
Why is she reading
a book?
It sounds
like a nightmare.
Was she surprised by what night the play went live? I mean, did she not know ahead of time that she would have to know her lines?
Look, David Mamet is famously difficult to memorize and to perform because his language is very specific and very dense, and there's a lot of words in his lines. But still, that is kind of your job.
Yeah, I would say so. How long before they replace her?
Well, I don't know. The show hasn't even officially opened yet. October 2nd is the official date of the opening. They're in what they call now previews, which are the shows leading up to, where you kind of work out the bugs. So in their defense, they're really not officially opened yet. But there was an audience there.
Yeah.
As much as there was one. They were hoping that her star power would sell out the show, but the theater was only about half full, they said, for the first performance. So depending on...
I'm going to say before it opens.
If that keeps going on, if that's the trend, where they can't even sell tickets having her name on the marquee, then they might close up shop early.
Maybe she should stick to, Freaky Friday, the musical, or something that she can handle a little
bit
better.
But listen, film acting and stage acting are a very different animal. I mean, largely when you do a film or a television show, the editor is the one that creates your performance. They'll take a little piece of this take where you were pretty good, and then the next take you did this line pretty well, and then they can sort of stitch those together into a performance. But when you're on stage, it's just you. There's nobody's going to help you out. You kind of have to deliver.
Well, the guy behind the curtain.
And the guy she's screaming to, saying, yeah. And what? What would I say here?
Yelling the lines.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tennis player Serena Williams is 33 years old today. Christina Milian is 33 as well. Neve Schulman from Catfish, he's the host of that show, 30 years old today. Actor Jim Caviezel, he is a person of interest. He's also Jesus.
Yeah.
I think it was also an interesting person, Jesus. 46 years old today. And actress Linda Hamilton celebrates her 58th birthday. Come with me if you want to live. Terminator. I'm Ralph Garman.
A little late.
I walk the show, Bisbee.
Next Thursday morning, by the way, I hope you will make plans to join our friend Ralph Garman. He is going to be live at the Universal Studios Hollywood. That's starting at 6 o'clock next Thursday the 2nd, doing the blood drive. This is the annual K-Rock blood drive, the Vein Dream blood drive this year. Tons of great prizes just for coming on down, including tickets to Linkin Park, Festival Supreme, Jimmy Eat World, and so much more. You want to go ahead and sign up, reserve your spot, and make plans to join us next Thursday morning. You can get all the details and do just that at krock.com.
You know, when something gets popular, it's not very long before it gets into advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Companies want to use whatever's popular.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So superheroes are the thing right now.
Oh, yes.
The comic books, the movies, everything else. And there's a new superhero, and it's Captain Citrus. And he's from the orange groves of Florida. He's letting everybody know that orange juice is good. Now, okay. I'm not positive that's the best use of a superhero.
Well, I think we know orange juices.
Well, that's what I would say. Well,
apparently, the state of Florida thinks not enough people are drinking orange juice, so this is the campaign they've come up with. Listen to how they're advertising this new Marvel superhero.
You know,
Marvel's Avengers. Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow, Captain America. But who is Captain Citrus? And how is he powered by the Amazing Five? Find out in the all-new Avengers Assemble digital comic at CaptainCitrus.com.
Captain Citrus, Lisa, is cut, young, and fit. In his first comic adventure, he uses his solar power to help the Avengers defeat an evil villain. And he starts his day with, what do you think? A glass of orange juice.
Yes.
Wow.
So let's find out some more about this new Marvel superhero. Captain Citrus apparently joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Cap.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
How are you? Hi, Captain Citrus, here to save not only your mornings, but also to fight criminals wherever they may be.
So, orange juice, that's yours, that's what drives you, that's what fuels your superpower?
Every day I have a tall, frosty glass of orange juice, as you should, my good friends. It's filled with vitamin C.
It just doesn't seem like enough to base a superhero on. I mean, you didn't come from another planet, you weren't bitten by a spider.
I live in an orange grove with my family.
Yeah,
Danger rears its ugly head, I, Captain Citrus, put on my costume and use the power of the sun to defeat evil wherever it may lurk.
Are they afraid that your popularity is going to overtake Iron Man?
Because there is that possibility.
Although
Iron Man is a good friend of mine, and we do work together with the Avengers.
Sure, my bad.
It is possible that Captain Citrus will become the most popular comic book superhero in America.
I don't think that's likely. I mean,
it is I, Captain Citrus.
Captain Citrus, right.
Uses the power of the sun and my solar abilities to stop crime wherever it may be.
Even though you hang out with the Avengers, though, they make you eat at the kids' table, right?
I'll have you know that isn't correct. No, they invite me to their main table because I always provide glasses and glasses of frosty orange juice.
Right,
which
exactly.
is not only good, but good for you.
Right. What's your costume look like, Captain Citrus?
Well, of course, I am in the colors of the Florida orange grove of orange and green.
Sure.
And I have the powers of the sunshine, just as oranges have powers that come from the sunshine and go into their juice. And whenever I come up against evil, I shoot my juice at them.
Oh, whoa, what?
If you were doing something wrong, I would come up to you and I would shoot my juice in your face.
There's got to be a better way you can phrase that, Captain Citrus. Oh, no.
Yes, it burns in your eyes, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Please stop.
Yes, whenever I see evil rearing its ugly head,
right.
I just shoot my juice at it.
All right.
Swallow all of my juice, evil.
You've got to come up with a different word than juice. Maybe put orange in front of it every time.
Say drink my juice.
I'm not sure that's going to...
When I come up against one of my evil villains Count Scurvy or Papercut, I shoot my juice into them.
Wait.
I fill them up with my juice.
Papercut? Papercut is a villain?
Yes. He hates it when I get my juice in him.
Right. I don't blame him.
Okay.
Drink my juice, bitches.
Oh! Right.
You too on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Muggs, why didn't you cut off that song at the end before it was finished?
I think that's how it ended.
I mean, that's pretty much how you do, like when we had Bono on, remember?
Thanks, dude. Okay. Bye-bye. Look.
So I just figured you just cut off the song when you're done with it.
Hey, director Antoine Fuqua joins us in studio. He's very close to the K-Rock studios. He's going to be joining us in a few minutes to talk about his awesome new movie, The Equalizer, that opens up everywhere today with his friend Denzel Washington. Very much excited about that. First, though, since we have a minute, there is a Mugshot Hall of Fame, and this guy's picture is going to go in it. Muggs is actually the one who told me about this story. How would you describe what's going on with this guy in this mugshot in Oklahoma City? 25-year-old Eric Aguilar.
Holy cow.
You see it?
Just dirt and cuts and...
Neck brace.
He's effed up.
He had a sad day, and I'm going to tell you that I don't think... Look, he made some bad choices in this story in Oklahoma, but I don't think it's 100% his fault. I think it's only 99% his fault.
What?
And here's why I say that. Because McDonald's, who you know we all love, and they're a fine sponsor of the radio station. We all love them. They're bagging on McDonald's here. But McDonald's should let you order in the drive-thru even if you're not in a car. I don't understand why you can't walk up to the drive-thru. They're closed. This McDonald's in Oklahoma City is not a 24-hour McDonald's, so if you want to get food, you got to go through the drive-thru. What do you do if you don't have a car? They won't serve you. If you're on a bicycle, they won't serve you.
Personally, myself, I would hijack a car in line.
I think you mean carjack, and I think that's exactly what Eric did. Yes, he carjacked a lady further back in the line so that he could get a car. They said, we can't serve you because you don't have a car. So he did the logical thing, and he carjacked another customer at the McDonald's. And there was a struggle, and then he got away and ended up not even getting food, by the way. He ended up taking off with the car where he crashed it a few miles later, which is why his mugshot looks the way it does, Kevin. It is unclear whether he was on drugs and or alcohol at the time, or if he was just seriously jonesing for a Big Mac. But let's see if there's some more details in this story from the Oklahoma City TV station.
Lance, the victim did not return our calls today, but one McDonald's employee told us that the suspect actually came up to that drive-thru window right behind me and asked for food, but they didn't have a car, so they were refused service. Unfortunately for that victim, though, the suspect soon found a car to drive.
By the way, I didn't hear from you guys. Anyone with me on McDonald's should serve you if you walk up to the window?
Well, I get why they don't. There's probably a safety issue in terms of you standing in front of cars that are waiting to drive up.
I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't seem like that's a big issue to me.
But that's got to be what it is,
right? It could be.
It might be, but it's not like cars are going through there at 40 miles an hour. I mean, cars in line are stopped while somebody else is at the window.
Here's what I do know, that if you've been drinking, there are times when you have to have it.
Yes. Yes.
And you don't have to have it. You don't have a car. It doesn't matter. You have to have it.
All right. Here's the lady who was working the window at the time, and she heard the customer further back in line who got carjacked.
He just stole my car. He just took it.
McDonald's employees at Northwest 23rd and Penn remember the frantic words of a woman who had just been carjacked in their drive-thru just before 1 a.m. Tuesday. She had just ordered.
We told her her total, and now all of a sudden we just hear her yelling, and we see the guy on the camera, like, take her out the car and get in.
Lisa Woods was actually borrowing a car from a friend when 25-year-old Eric Aguilar allegedly approached the driver's side door and opened it.
By the way, that's a tough conversation to have with your friend. Hey, you know how you lent me your car to go to McDonald's?
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
Do you remember when your car was in good shape when I took it tonight?
I mean, what are the chances you borrow a car to go to get something to eat and it gets carjacked? That's amazing.
Yeah,
he told Woods to get out. She refused, and a struggle began. She told police Aguilar pulled her out by her arm, threw her on the ground, got in the car, and sped away. Police soon followed, and 3 miles away near 23rd and Meridian, Aguilar was involved in a violent crash.
By the way, why do you suppose he sped away? Do you think at that point he really the reality of what the situation he put himself in is, oh my God, I just carjacked this woman. I can't just calmly sit in front of a speaker and wait for my food?
I don't know, because it seems like he really needed that food.
That's what's so confusing about this. He needed the food so much that he would commit this felony, yet then he drives away without getting any food. And I doubt they brought a McDonald's in jail. I think that was the end of it, right?
Yeah, I would guess that's the end of it, sure.
So our moral of the story here is what? What are we advising our listeners to do, Kevin, if they're in that situation where you've been so many times where it's 1 a.m., your McDonald's is closed, drive-thru only, you've got to have French fries. What do you do?
I don't know. Honestly, I would go to somebody else's car and go, I'll pay for your food.
Yes.
If you'll also order whatever.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
That's what I would do.
See? When Kevin is the voice
That's
of reason,
right. Thank
people,
you
know we've got problems in this country. Antoine Fuqua is here on the Kevin and Bean Show in studio with us. Of course, the director of Training Day and The Replacement Killers and King Arthur and Shooter. Olympus Has Fallen. So many terrific movies over the past 15 years or so. And he is back with a new one in theaters this weekend called The Equalizer. Antoine, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I got to tell you real quick, my editor, John Rafu, who did Avatar, loves you guys.
Really?
I told him I was doing this show this morning. He was like, that's all I listen to. You got to tell them. So if you're listening, John, I did it.
You know what's
you should be on your way to the editing bay right now.
and you should get a better morning show.
Seriously.
That shows some lack of judgment.
Well, that is a very kind, Antoine. So tell your friend we said thank you for that. So
absolutely.
This has been a crazy week. I mean, it's big business when you got a big-time movie coming out. Where have you been in the last couple of weeks to spread the word on The Equalizer?
Let's see. Spain, Rome, Berlin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Paris.
Are you opening all over the world at the same time with this one?
I think maybe a week apart, possibly. I'm not quite sure. I think maybe 1 week from when we opened.
Okay. Wow. Well, we've been talking a lot about The Equalizer in the days leading up to today when it's finally available in theaters. Most of us were unfamiliar with the source material of this, that there was a TV show, in fact, but that was kind of just a jumping off point for you, right?
Yes. This is more of an origin story. This is sort of like the beginning or discovery of, you know, what his calling is. The TV show started off, you know, where a guy was already driving a nice Jaguar and beautiful suits and my grandmother, my mother, loved him. Oh, my God.
Now, Denzel Washington is a guy who scares me. When he looks at me, I feel like I'm going to die at any moment. If he wants that to happen.
Looks can kill, right?
If he wants that to happen, I'm dead.
He's got that. Yeah, he's got that intensity.
He does.
Yeah, I know. We'll try directing him. excuse me, Mr. Washington, sir. Could you move to the left just a little, please? Oh, he's a great guy, man.
He seems like he's such a movie star. I mean, he's one of the, you know, probably one of the five biggest movie stars in the world right now. Wouldn't you agree with that, Antoine?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
But he's also, and this doesn't always correspond, he's also one of the five best actors in the world right now. And that's a rare combination to have both of those things. I mean, you cannot take your eyes off Denzel Washington. Even though you've known him for a long time, are you able to just forget about the fact that he's Denzel Washington, capital D, capital W, and just treat him like an employee when you're directing him?
Yeah, he would prefer that. Yeah, he'll tell you himself that the celebrity and movie star stuff is not who he is. He's an actor. And he says all the time, when the movie's done, I'm an unemployed actor. I mean, you know, he's very humble with that. However, just coming from around the world with him, it was like the Beatles. It was a reminder for me as well. We got in Spain, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Seriously, the cars couldn't get out in Rome. We had to have escorts from the police to get us out of this Q&A studios we came from.
Wow, that's crazy. Because everyone wants to get near him.
Yeah. And he would stop and try to sign every autograph if you let him. So they have to get him out of there. And it just gets crazier and crazier. So,
you've done a lot of action sequences over the years with some of your other films that I mentioned, including, you know, last year's Olympus Has Fallen, which had a lot of that in it. But this one looks like it's on steroids. This one looks like it's really amped up. Was it super complicated, some of the stuff you shot?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, it was the trick with Mr. Washington, obviously, is he's a great actor. So you don't want the action to overpower the acting. So how do you blend the two?
Yeah.
So part of that process was to make sure that I cover it almost like shooting a narrative, which means you really see everything that happens until you see him doing it. So as opposed to the camera shaking all over the place, you don't know what's happening.
That kind of fighting drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Or they just get somebody that's drunk in there with a camera and it moves all over the place.
It feels exactly. like cheating.
Yeah, it does.
To be honest.
A little bit, it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you got people that can't really do what they supposed to be doing.
Right.
But no, Mr. Washington did all the stunts.
You keep calling him Mr. Washington.
Well, he'll crack jokes about that too.
Okay.
Because we're really close friends and everything. But, you know, when I'm doing interviews, I'll call him Mr. Washington just out of respect. You know, he wouldn't like that, by the way.
He wouldn't.
Oh, really?
If he was sitting there right now, he would just start laughing. Mr. Washington. Really, Antoine? It's all good, though. You know, that's what
it is. It is hard to believe, and I think this about, you know, the latest chapter of Liam Neeson's career, too. It is hard to believe that Denzel Washington will be 60 soon. When you look at him, you never think in terms of him being anywhere close to being an old man. I mean, he still looks so unbelievably vital in a role like this. It's so convincing.
Yep. Age is nothing but a number. I mean, we train at the same gym. We box, both of us. And he's been boxing for 20 years, I think, just before Hurricane he started boxing.
Who wins? You box each other ever?
Huh? What?
Do you box each other?
Who?
Ever?
What?
So yes, what? You do, and he wins?
He would
Even
win.
If he wins, he doesn't want to say it publicly.
Win. He would win because there's no way in the world I could punch him in the face.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Denzel Washington.
Right. That's
true. I don't want to be responsible, even if I got a hit in. You know, these women would kill me.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Everybody in Spain would have come after you.
Oh, my God. Spain. The ones right here in the studio.
You don't want to make him walk out of the gym looking like Mickey Rourke. Now that's on you, right?
right?
Oh, my God. Not going to happen anyway. He's
all right. Let me ask you this. There's that one scene in the trailer, and I love these trailers so much. There's two or three of them out there, but there's this one scene in the trailer where a guy comes up to him and puts a gun in his face. Mm. And in like a second, he grabs that gun and turns around. Now he's pointing the gun in that guy's face.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a trick edit, or is that something that a guy can actually do?
A guy can actually do. That's him doing
what?
It. Oh, yeah.
What?
That's why the camera stays there. Yeah, he trained with our stunt guy, Keith Willard and Lynn. Keith is a Navy SEAL. And then,
okay.
So they showed him how to really do it. And every day I would see him he would be practicing all day these different things. And all those things can be done. It's all based on real things.
It's funny. You sort of think about a guy like Denzel Washington, who's done so many movies and so many action scenes and everything else. I just picture him in his trailer. I don't picture him out working out and trying to practice, those moves and stuff.
Not at all. In fact,
he does the opposite, huh?
No. Denzel, he doesn't even eat lunch in his trailer. He's lunch with the crew.
Does he really?
Yeah, he doesn't sit in his trailer. He goes in his trailer when he needs to just do his homework or getting ready for the next scene or something like that. But 9 times out of 10, he's sitting on the set somewhere way in the corner by himself, quiet. Or he's working on the next thing. Or he's with the crew. He's a director as well. He's done 2 movies.
Right.
So he knows the process, and he wants to be there to help.
Is there ever a situation where you want it to be one way and he knows that it should be the other way?
We've never come across
that. That's never happened?
Never, no, because we discuss a lot before.
Okay.
And I discuss what I'm doing. Denzel's very respectful for directors. Once he signs off on you as a director, it's your job.
That's it. Now it's on you.
When I did Training Day, I asked him one day, hey, you want to come look at the monitor? I got what I need, but you want to see? He goes, nah, man, you're flying this plane. He said, the time to be afraid is on the ground. Call me when you're ready.
Wow.
He has never looked at
I saw a flight, and he should not be flying a plane anyway.
Should not be flying a plane. Because it would be upside down for sure.
This is the voice of Antoine Fuqua here on the Kevin and Bean Show, director of the new film called The Equalizer in theaters everywhere today. For folks who haven't seen the trailer, he plays a guy who has left the life behind where he's beating up Russian gangsters, or so he thinks, until some things happen that he feels like requires his involvement. And he's one of these guys who is able to kill you with a ballpoint pen, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, like, whatever is available, he can use as a weapon. Now, is that something that comes from Navy SEALs' input as well?
It does, but it came from a good friend of mine, Paul, who was an undercover cop, and then he worked black ops and stuff like that from out in San Francisco, is where he lives.
How many of your friends can kill you in a second?
Too many. Because since I've been talking about this movie, it's starting to feel a little strange that I got these type of friends in my life,
But you got to be careful.
They're on our side, which is good.
Okay, good. You need to have some friends, too, that you can kick their ass. To balance out.
Oh, it balances out. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of audio, if we could, please, from the trailer of The Equalizer on KRC.
I promised I would never go back to being that person. When somebody does something unspeakable to someone you hardly knew, you do something about it, because you can.
I mean about a girl.
You didn't take out 5 pimps. You took out the East Coast hub of the Russian mafia. He won't stop until he kills you and anyone you care about.
Not enough? Because I can keep going. Brick by brick, body by body. What do you see when you look at me? What do you see when you look at me?
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
By the way, great timing to have Russian bad guys with what's going on in the world right now. We're practically in a new Cold War, right?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I do Olympus Has Fallen and the Koreans threaten to blow up the White House, and then I do this movie and the Russians. Somebody asked me one day, do I have some sort of political ties to do all this stuff?
Yeah, man, what's happening here? It does seem like you know what's coming. You're just telegraphing the future.
It's all
you are currently, in addition to out promoting The Equalizer, you're currently making Southpaw. That's your latest film that you're working on, right?
Oh, yeah, Southpaw, yeah. It's a movie about a boxer whose life takes a tragic turn. He's a champ in the world, and then he has to get his daughter out of orphanage.
And that's Jake Gyllenhaal, and also Eminem is in that?
Well, Eminem was going to play the lead.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
oh.
But scheduling issues. He couldn't do it at the time. So Jake stepped in, man, and, he's a beast. Man. I just showed your guys in the office over there pictures of him. They're like, that's got to be – is that CG?
Right.
Wait till you see him. And his performance is ridiculous.
And you're also doing a documentary on Chuck Dines. Is that happening?
Trying to finish that up, yeah.
Yeah?
Trying to finish that
up. How smart a decision is that, Antoine? I'm sure you're smart. You know what you're doing. But just have you rethought that?
He's got friends, Bean.
Well, I don't know. I heard he got shot. I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and I thought,
We love everything about him. That's
yes,
our
we think whatever he says is right.
That's our public stance.
Is what we think. Do you? I know we have very little time with you, Mr. McCall, but do you? You started out in the music video world, and you did famous videos with Usher and Coolio and Prince and all. It seems like you've always been a big music fan. You have a lot of friends in that world still.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love music. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, in Southpaw, 50 Cent's in it.
Tyrese
is
nice.
In it. Oh yeah. No, I love music. I mean, you know, I grew up with music. Harvey Fuqua, I discovered Marvin Gaye, the Gordys, or, you know, it's my family.
Wow.
You know, so I'm a kid that grew up with music all around me. My mother would make me clean the whole house with to music. So, yeah, I love music.
In the trailer, there's a song from Eminem.
Yeah.
And Sia.
And Sia, yeah, Guts Over Fear.
What a great song. Is that just for the movie?
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rosenberg, his manager, saw the movie and then showed him, and he said, I got the track. I'm finishing it, but I'm going to change some things, and he sent it over to us. By hand, no one can hear it, and they let me hear it. As soon as I heard it, I said, it's a smash hit, and he wasn't even done yet.
Really?
I mean, the guy's just talented, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, you know, because he always finds a way in, you know, and he's real.
Yeah. What is, I mean, look, he's obviously had some, we're talking about Eminem now, he's obviously had some tough times in his life and had some issues to work through, and some of that has so brilliantly come out in his music. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is he okay?
He's good. Yeah, he is, man. I mean, from what I know, I mean, I've sat with him a couple of times. He's a cool. He's very humble, and I think he's very focused. I think whatever he went through, he's come out the other side, and he's a better person. And you know, he takes care of his family. He's a good guy, man. I really like him a lot.
I saw him and Rihanna in concert at the Rose Bowl, I think it was, and he's just an amazing guy.
Yeah, force of nature.
You don't hear anything about him anymore. He's low key, man.
I think that's why we're just so used to the celebrity culture, but maybe that's part of why I ask is because I just feel like he's sitting in his basement cutting when we don't hear him. You know what? Like, I want to make sure you think he's okay.
That guy's cool, man. He's all right. I'm glad to hear it.
I am so sad that we're out of time, Mr. Fuqua, but seriously, The Equalizer is all we've been talking about this week. Kevin's probably going to go see it twice this weekend like he do, and we urge our listeners to do the same. It looks amazing, and it's so great to meet you, and I hope you'll come back and see anytime.
Good meeting you guys. Anytime. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 7:58.
We're going to make you a little money on some football this weekend, NFL week number 4. We'll talk to the founder of pregame.com from Las Vegas, RJ Bell. That's coming up after the top of the hour. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race next hour as well. Ralph is here now. Top of the show. Please speak. Morning, Ralph.
What time are you guys leaving?
Leaving for Milan.
Milan?
Wasn't aware we were going to Italy. What's going on?
Well, we got the big wedding this weekend. George and Amal.
Yeah!
You guys weren't invited?
George Clooney?
Yes.
No, I don't. I haven't checked my mail in the last couple of days.
Oh.
So maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, first Milan, then on to Venice, of course. Authorities have ordered access to pedestrian walkways around the 16th century Cavalli Palace to be shut down for 2 hours. You know, because of the ceremony and stuff. So, you know, how you get married in the 16th century palace. You know how you do that.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's going to be two weddings, apparently. A church wedding on Saturday, then a civil ceremony on Monday. 100 guests. That's about all they've invited. It's going to be a small event, just to their credit. Here's some of the guest list. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Matt Damon, Cindy Crawford, and her husband, of course, Randy Gerber. They're friends. Bono will be there. Andrea Bocelli, he will be there. Lana Del Rey. What? Lana Del Rey?
How'd she make the list?
Is she performing?
Or
is she passing hors d'oeuvres, maybe?
Is
she working it?
I don't know the connection there.
That's madness.
Maybe she's friends with one of them.
Unless George is going to bring her by, just a little extra on the side before it all goes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
One last chance to bang Lana Del Rey before it all goes south, you know what I'm saying?
Obviously.
Obviously, indeed. Melissa Rivers may donate some of her mother's estate to the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C., which I think is strange.
That they would want it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But apparently the Museum of American History is interested in some of her stuff. And they say, you know, she's got a place in the history of comedy, and they have a history of acquiring comic artifacts for the museum because it is part of American history.
Look, people know that we weren't big fans of her, but I can see that. Yeah. She has a place in history.
The Smithsonian has acquired Phyllis Diller's file of jokes and Bob Hope's joke collection. So they said perhaps they could get a collection of all Joan's jokes that she wrote as well.
Yeah, we saw that file cabinet in the documentary, remember, where she kept copies of all of her jokes over the years?
No. Who's we, white man? And what documentary are you talking about?
I think most of us saw that Joan Rivers documentary from a couple of years ago. It was tremendous.
It was really fascinating.
So great.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think most of us may be a bit of an assumption on your part, but...
She had a file full of jokes, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, a whole file cabinet on index cards of jokes.
But okay. They would leave off the last, like, 15 years, right?
I'm not sure
the
how.
The bottom drawers how. They would just leave behind in the apartment. They might not go to the Smithsonian, those.
Right.
Ow! That dress!
That file yeah, maybe wouldn't, that file wouldn't be included.
Maybe stick to the Carson years is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Hamilton's 58 years old today. Jim Caviezel is 46. Serena Williams turns 33, as does Christina Milian. And Neve Schulman, host of Catfish, both the movie and the series, 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know it seems like it's a Friday and we're halfway through the show and we should be just phoning in at this point, just coasting. But listen to this. So much great stuff coming up, including our friend Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, returning this weekend on CBS. He's joining us this hour. Also this hour, we're going to give you some tickets to Mickey's Halloween party at the Disneyland Resort. Details at KROQ.com. And the beautiful actress Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's next hour here on KROQ. But first... Who wants to make a little bit of money? Let's go out to Las Vegas. Our friend RJ Bell is on the line. He is from pregame.com. Hey, RJ. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I'm trying to remember the number you gave me last week. Kevin was on vacation, so he wasn't part of the conversation. But you were talking about how much money is gambled on, was it sports in America per year?
Yeah, well, the stat that's out there now is if you look at sports betting worldwide, so not just in America, but across the globe, $1 trillion. So, huge number.
$1 trillion, Kevin.
Just a trillion, that's it.
Just a trillion, that's all.
You gave our listeners three NFL picks, and once again this last week, you were 3-0, RJ. I don't know how you do it, but you seem to know what you're talking about, my friend.
Well, listen, let's keep our reasonable expectations here. It's not going to happen every week. My goal was just to win more than I lose, because here's something that's surprising, or maybe not so surprising. About 97% of sports bettors lose net over the long term. So if you're winning a dollar a year, you're in that rarefied 3%.
That's awesome. Hey, when you go to Las Vegas, man, those casinos were not built on, you know, them giving other people money. That's for sure.
You know, when I was about 25, I went to Atlantic City for the first time with a guy who was in his mid-50s who had been around the block when it came to gambling. So we walk in the Taj Mahal, and he points up at the chandelier and says, "See that? I bought that for
him." All right. Well, let's take a look at some of the marquee games this weekend for week number 4 in the NFL. You've got Detroit and the New York Jets up first. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so this is where, you know, one of the things we've been doing is having an upset pick of the week.
We have the best bet, we have the upset, we have a big game that's kind of tough to call. So this is the upset.
This is going to be the upset. Right now, the Jets are a home underdog by about 1.5. The public loves Detroit. This is a team that looks better on paper, though. They're like a video game. They look fun. They've got Calvin Johnson, and 86% of the bets so far actually back Detroit. But this is a bad situation for them. They do not respond well to success. The Lions, off a win, covered the next game only 4 of 18 times. Plus, the Lions are not a good road favorite. In fact, last 20 times, they've been favored on the road, 4-16 against the spread. Now, back in the Jets, we have a very strong trend. When the Jets lose a home game and then they play the next game at home, and that's the situation we're in Sunday, 17-2 against the spread. We got some big numbers back in the Jets to win the game.
But the Jets, aren't the Jets one of those creative teams that lose games that everybody thought they were going to win in some strange, bizarre way?
You know, I wouldn't say. I mean, think about this. This is a team that made, you know, just a few years ago, made the AFC title game twice, and obviously not as good in the last 2 years, but this is a defensive-minded team that doesn't often make their big mistakes. Now, I will say this. Geno Smith at quarterback is a problem if they're behind. This is a guy, if he's a game manager, Geno Smith can do fine. If you expect too much from him, you're in trouble.
Gotcha.
So I would agree. If Detroit gets ahead, we're probably in trouble here.
Let me ask you one more question, because sometimes I look at stats in Las Vegas and I go, well, that can't mean anything. It certainly makes sense. You say the Lions are 4-16 against the spread on the road, and that makes sense. There's a lot of reasons why a team wouldn't play as well on the road. But I don't understand why they don't cover the next game after they win one. I mean, why are they so – why can they never win two games in a row? What's that about?
Well, first off, your instincts are great in that trends can just be random. I mean, if you have enough variables and there's enough different – angles to look at it, some are going to have somewhat extreme results. So it's important to not only have a decent number, but also some logic behind it. And I think with the Lions, there's a lot of logic in that trend, which is this is a team with questionable intangibles. Over the last few years, they've had the talent, but they really haven't performed. So let's think of human nature, is when you do well in something, some people think, oh, it's my chance to lay back, maybe come 5 minutes late to practice or not put that little extra work in. And the NFL is about inches. All of these guys are professional. If one team's trying 100%, the other team's trying 95%, that's going to make a huge difference. Detroit has shown us when they win and do well, they just don't have that last 5% the next week.
All right, so the upset special is the Jets. What about the best bet?
All right, best bet, I'm going with a favorite, which we don't often do. Baltimore's at home, favored by 3.5. I like Baltimore here. Is this Panther team is overrated? Vegas projected them to be below 500 this year. They started the season hot, and people thought, wow, this team won 12 games last year. They're playing well this year. But they've actually been outgained yardage-wise this season. Carolina's the kind of team, or any team really, where the scores can be deceiving. You want to dig into the box scores, and in this case, Carolina has played below average. Baltimore, on the other hand, last 53 home games, they've won 43 of them. This is a really good home team. Now let's talk psychology just for a minute. Steve Smith is a new receiver for Baltimore. He had been with Carolina for many, many years before that. He left, and it wasn't on good terms. So not only, I think, is Baltimore going to be motivated to help their new guy, you know, kind of get redemption from his old team, there's going to be X's and O's that this Steve Smith knows about Carolina that he can help Baltimore with. Baltimore, best bet.
All right. And you're also not as quite as enamored of Cam Newton as a lot of Americans are, right, RJ?
No, I think this is a guy, he was the number one pick. He did great in college. You know, a lot of talent, but if you actually look at the performance, you know, average quarterback, maybe slightly below average.
All right, the big game for you this weekend, and this is RJ Bell from pregame.com, is the incredibly surging Philadelphia Eagles, who just have the best fourth quarters in the NFL, and the slightly disappointing San Francisco 49ers. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, you set this up just right, but here's Vegas saying, you know, what you just said, we don't care about. Think about this. Philly 3-0, but in our Vegas rankings, they have not been adjusted. They were tied for ninth before the season. They're tied for ninth now. Vegas does not overreact to the scoreboard. Now, San Fran, they're 1-2. And they've only been downgraded by a half a point in our Vegas rankings, and they're still tied for fifth. So right now, San Fran is considered to be the better team, and that's what the spread is telling us. We talk about it, and we'll talk about it, is the home field advantage is worth about 3 points in the NFL. So San Francisco being favored by 4.5 here at home says San Francisco is the better team, which I think would surprise some people that see Philly being 3-0. That's what the line tells us, though. San Francisco, after losing, tends to bounce back. In fact, in Coach Harbaugh's coaching career, San Fran has only lost two straight games twice. In that third game, they won by 24 points and 21 points. They really tend to bounce back. So I would lean San Fran. One curiosity, though, check this out. San Francisco, in the first half, compared to Philly, has done 72 points better. But in the second half, Philly, compared to San Francisco, has done 99 points better. This is like the most extreme I've ever seen of one team doing well in the first half and then one team doing well in the second half. Something to think about when you're watching the game.
So flip a coin on that one.
It's unbelievable how much math there is in your job, RJ, but you present it so well for us. So you've got the Jets as the upset special, Baltimore is your best bet, and you say San Francisco in the big game.
And I'm leaning that way with the other two plays being stronger.
Quick reminder, though, for our listeners who go to pregame.com today, they can or cannot place bets with you from California.
No, we're based in Vegas, but we don't take bets from anyone. We are an information. We're like the New York Times of sports betting. We give you the info and let you do with it what you want.
RJ Bell, have a great week. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
This season on The Amazing Race, we are celebrating 25 seasons, our silver anniversary. When these 11 new teams get a chance for a life-changing adventure and the opportunity to win $1 million.
He's back.
That's Phil Kogan, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. That 25 seasons, though, that's in how many years, Phil?
Almost 13.
All right, that's pretty significant.
That's
a lot of damn travel.
Think about that. I had somebody come up to me yesterday, like, I've been watching your show since I was 10 years old. And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, you're looking old, and you've been watching since you were 10. What does that make me?
I saw the number in one of your promo videos for the new season, Phil, but I don't remember what it was. How many miles have you and the teams traveled in the course of filming The Amazing Race?
We're getting close to a million. I think back in season 20, it was 750 something. So we must be getting closer and closer to the million.
Million miles.
And you think about it, like from here to the moon, I think is 250,000.
Right.
So we've almost been to the moon and back twice, almost.
That's season 26. The moon.
The moon. I like
teams
that.
Must now make their way to the moon. When they arrive, they will land like Armstrong and pick up their next clue. Actually, they got to pick up the flag.
So, Phil, you're traveling on CBS's dime, obviously. So does that?
What are you trying to say? I should be paying?
No, absolutely not.
I know completely what this question legit. Is.
My question is, yes. Who gets the miles? Do you get to use the miles personally when you're not working?
You just had to go there, didn't you? Now CBS would be like, wow, are we really giving away all those miles to everybody?
Your name on the ticket, right?
That's true. Okay, here's the thing. Yes, we're allowed to keep the miles. However,
can you donate them to your friends?
Yes.
Okay.
And now your next question is, are you my friend?
Correct.
Right. Yeah. No. There are just some airlines that I do not want to have miles on and do not want to fly again.
Ah.
Really?
Right. Yes. There are a lot of them. Like when you take the first leg to Europe or whatever, that you're on an airline.
Yeah,
that you
maybe like and, maybe you know the leg going away and coming back, but then all the little stuff in between. Trust me, I'm white knuckling the ride.
All right.
You know, with some airlines,
regional airlines.
Little regional airlines,
especially overseas.
You sit there and you look at the tray table in front of you. And on the back, you see the stamps and the logos of airlines that you know went out of business 25 years ago. That's not comforting. Like, when was Eastern done with? Eastern Airlines.
I don't even remember.
It has
Eastern.
To be 20 years,
like,
right?
80s, something?
Did you fly on an Eastern Airlines flight?
Well, it wasn't really an Eastern Airlines flight. It was another flight that had been obviously
refurbished plane. Yeah.
Refurbished. This tray table is still perfectly fine.
Yeah. Phil, we talked about you this week. We did a story on some guys in, where were they from, Kevin? They were Norwegian or something? And they got in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most countries in 24 hours. They went to 19 countries in 24 hours. And we said, this is worse than The Amazing Race because they're literally not even stopping in some of these countries. They're just driving through the corner of them to get to the other.
That's impressive, though.
But it doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, exactly. Why? Isn't the whole point that you stop, have a beer,
meet
some good-looking women?
They don't win anything for doing it, either.
But they get to, they got to go on your show and show off about it.
Now, do you think that...
No, we just talked about it.
Do you think that your contestants feel like they've even traveled to these countries after they go and perform their task and then go on to the next one?
Yeah. And here's the thing. The difference with us is that we will travel to, say, maybe 10 countries, 12 countries in a period of 21 days.
Right.
And when they go there, we're setting up really incredible opportunities for them. It is more of a tease than it is like an immersion.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind. I mean,
but it is in itself, that's an amazing experience. So I equate it to like going to an NBA final where you're like on the floor and you got really good seats and you're right in it and it's like playoff time and every second counts. And that's sort of what race is like for these teams. And so they talk about that experience as a once in a lifetime experience because the opportunity that they get on a show, even if they win the $1 million, sometimes they can't go back and buy it. When you walk down into where the Terracotta Warriors are, and you're surrounded by all those 5,000 warriors down there, even if you had all the money in the world, they wouldn't let you go down there and do that. So they're getting to do things that are truly once in a lifetime opportunities.
Yeah. How do you keep finding so many of these islands that no one has ever heard of before?
And are you making them up? Because we don't think they exist.
Yeah, no, we do make them up.
I think most of them are just Catalina, and you're just filming them there.
We're working with Google, they're one of our sponsors. We need an island here. That would be really convenient. I don't know if people realize just like the extent sometimes of what is out there. You know, there are so many places that we're still discovering. I do still feel like that the world is getting really small. And we might be having to plan that trip to the moon.
To the moon, yeah.
Yeah.
Or replay certain places or something. I've been listening to the radio commercials and watching the TV commercials, and Bethany Hamilton is the only contestant? Or are there others?
Yeah, well, we decided that Bethany would race this race on her own.
And it would be very inspiring.
She is so awesome.
She's the girl, of course, that was in the movie Soul Surfer.
She inspired that movie. So, a young woman, she was attacked by a tiger shark. She lost her arm, and she since that experience has just become such an inspiration for young women. I have an 18-year-old daughter. When my daughter found out that she was going to be on the show, she's like, oh man, I gotta watch it. She's at college right now, and they're all ready to watch the show tonight,
she's so. Very inspirational, and I don't mean this question at all to be mean, but I'm serious, Phil. How does she swim?
Well, can I tell you,
please,
without giving away too much, but in this first episode, we start in New York City, we start in Times Square, and they fly to a tropical paradise. They go down to the U.S. Virgin Islands, we've never been there, and they go on sort of a treasure hunt down in the islands.
Right.
And it involves swimming.
Right.
And she makes people look like she's an Olympic swimmer and everybody else just jumped in the pool for the first time.
I mean, seriously. How does she do it? Is that one arm just so strong that she's able to cut through?
She has an incredible core. Like, her core power is ridiculous. And
she spent her life in the ocean,
too. In the ocean. So it's sort of like second nature to her. And so where an fully able-bodied person would jump in the water and they could really look like, you know, they've never been in the water before.
Right. Yeah.
This young woman is, man, I don't know. She could have gills behind her ears. I mean, seriously.
But does she just swim around in a circle? That's my point, Kevin. If she does it, that's why it's so amazing to watch her swim.
You had to go. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, wow, I've been in here like 10 minutes. He hasn't said anything inappropriate.
I tried my best. I couldn't. I'm sorry. All right. We need to take a quick break. Our friend Phil Kogan here is in studio. We're talking about the amazing race, which, by the way, please make a note that your DVR has caught up with the change. No longer on Sunday nights. This season, it is on Friday nights on CBS.
And no more delays.
And no more. What do you mean? No more.
Well, we used to have delays on Sunday, and I
always because of football.
Yeah, and these parents would be complaining that I was affecting the education of their children. We are on time on Friday.
So this is good news. So tonight, Friday night on CBS at 8:00, more with our guest Phil Kogan right after this on K-Rock. Phil Kogan in studio with us, host of The Amazing Race, returning for its 25th season tonight on CBS at 9:00. By the way, just as an aside, because we were talking earlier about how bad Beer Mug feels every time you come in, Phil, because you're the anti-Beer Mug. You're the opposite of Beer Mug. So you walk in and Phil looks at Beer Mug and he goes, yeah, there you are.
No, he said, here's what he said. Look at you. That's right. Look at you.
Well, I actually think he looks a little more, he's got the beard going, but I think you look a little more groomed. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but you have the look in your eye, like right now somebody is loving you. Like you have love and you're being comforted.
That is not the case.
Yeah, okay.
Pizza is loving you.
Well, then you must be heavily sedated or on some kind of medication.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was either woman or medication. I wasn't really sure.
Here's the reason this all started is because Phil offered to use his own time.
So nice of him.
Get Beer Mug in shape.
Yes.
Right. And Mugs just blew
just
it
just dropped the ball.
And
on
the
that.
Only shape I can see is that What would you
the
call
beach
that?
Ball?
It's a three-pack, maybe a four.
Okay.
I don't know.
Every time I come in here, for whatever reason, he feels the need to lift his T-shirt up and show me what some might call a magic carpet.
Yeah.
It looks like it should be plaited. And
Muggs, here's why
or
you need
waxed.
To here's why you need to hang out with Phil is because you'll
with
find
a chainsaw,
yourself
then you go to the wax.
You'll find yourself in France riding an antique bicycle over the Pyrenees if you hang out with Phil. That's awesome. What you need to be doing. All right, let's get back on our remaining moments with Phil about the Amazing Race. Let me just make an observation, and maybe my memory is faulty. This is the first season I can ever remember where you have no fat guys. What's up with that?
Well, I did.
Have you been paying attention to that?
They drop like flies.
That's a strange question.
Yeah, I don't actually agree with that. I mean,
really?
Yeah,
it seems like a super fit group, though. Like,
yeah, but
almost
I mean,
all of them are super fit, as opposed to usually you've got some that are that look like obvious front runners because of their fitness levels, and then other people who really look far more sedentary. This looks like a group that all like gets it done.
There's definitely this is a very very fit group, but there's some solid big guys. I mean, it really comes down to how you would define
like the biggest guys though are firefighters,
right.
You know,
Beer Mug is how would you I wouldn't
call
Beer,
the cast?
Well, Beer Mug's not fat. No. Beer Mug is kind of like solid,
but he's not fit. He's not at all solid either, by the way.
How would you describe yourself, Beer Mug? Like, what would you, how would you,
just out of shape.
Out of shape,
just that.
Yeah, okay. So I would say that on Amazing Race we have a couple of guys who are not necessarily in shape, that's
right.
Sort of in the vein of a Beer Mug type
beer
character.
Mug-esque. Okay.
Beer Mug-esque, yes. Beer Mug-esque.
I know that people
Beer Mug-esque.
People have first impressions when they see the introductions of the team, and maybe, you know, they oftentimes end up being wrong. You end up really rooting for those people. But I couldn't hate the wrestlers more than I do right now. They seem like the most annoying people in the world.
I feel like they're trying to be annoying, though. You know what I mean? Like those wrestlers, like, hard to be this beautiful. You know, when they say stuff like that, you go, oh, come on now.
I think they might win you over because there's a thing that wrestlers do, you know, when they do that whole sell, they're, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And so everything is so, like, heightened and over the
I'd
top.
I'd like to hear a little more of that, if I could.
Yeah. I think I just killed my throat for the rest of the day. No, but they actually are very likable. They might win you over.
Okay.
And then she does something with her butt. She is known for doing something with her butt in
Lisa
the rest
is too.
By the way, all right. I've heard enough.
And sort of like a butt-tastic type thing.
Put that in the promo.
So, yeah.
Come on.
After she's killed her prey, she then
what's happening?
I think it's something I must learn to do. I don't know what
kidding.
It is yet, but
sounds
I
like
think
it.
I need to know.
I've got a talented butt.
Look it up. Look it up, and you'll see.
All right.
You've got
the pair of girls who apparently are they bicycle messengers in New York City?
Man.
Is that what they do?
These girls are hardcore.
Ridiculously fit.
Wow.
They are hardcore. Kim and Allie, and I went to a class yesterday with Kim, like a soul cycle class. She teaches.
Right.
She's been a bike messenger.
Was she especially hard on you?
Yes.
Come on,
pick
it up.
Yeah, yeah, she was. She was like right in front of my face. Is that all you got? You know, when a woman says that to you, that's enough.
Not the first time.
Then you really feel like you need to put in some effort.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry. Sorry. Anyway, so I left most of my attention over in Santa Monica the other day. Just I walked in at 180 pounds.
He's talking about sweat. Sweat.
Yes.
He's talking about sweat.
I left at 160.
What is happening here?
Dig out of this hole.
I so appreciate you helping me out here.
He's talking about sweat. And I think an early fan favorite for many viewers is going to be the Miami Realtors. Now, they are real-life sisters, right? But they look like they both are playmates.
They're twins, aren't they?
No, I think they're several years apart.
Yeah, they're a couple years apart, but they do look like twins, and they work as a team, and
Lisa's butt and Phil's DNA and these girls working as a team. What's going on?
Kind of like the wrestlers tag team.
Do they do something with their butts? So I'm just trying to keep this straight.
No. Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, and you're the one to do that.
That's a good point.
What's happening? Who's running the show here?
Nobody.
Okay. Two real estate sisters
yes.
who are very, very good at selling real estate.
I would buy a house from them right now.
I would too. Sight unseen.
Does that translate?
Your first question would be, do you come with the house?
Well, yeah,
right.
Maybe it would. That's possible.
Well, it's Lisa, I'm so sorry. What is going on?
We really do bring out the worst in film.
Oh, no, God.
We bring out the worst in each other.
I love it.
Oh, it's terrible. I was on Loveline last night.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, listen, it's like there's nothing like being on a radio show where the conversation is going in some crazy direction, yeah. And you're sitting there hanging on going, oh boy.
What do I do?
Yeah, like, where is this going?
Am I supposed to be here during this?
You're never going to want to do radio again after last night and this morning, and I wouldn't blame you, Phil. All right. Well, we're out of time, but The Amazing Race returns tonight.
Isn't that funny?
25.
How'd that happen?
Here's what I'm happy about. Sunday nights are brutal for TV.
Yes.
It's brutal. It's way too
we
good.
Complain
too much
all
stuff.
The time.
Moving to Friday night, that's great.
I'm thrilled.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, we're with a top 10 show in Blue Blood, and we've got Hawaii 5-0 there. It's a solid night for CBS. And, you know, I won't lie. I'm a little nervous about the move because Sunday has been our time.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm sort of excited that Friday can be the sort of family weekend time slot to sort of launch the weekend. It's nice at 8 o'clock that we're going to be able to get a chance to be
family viewing of
family, yeah, because yeah. Our show does
something
get,
with her butt.
It's hard to imagine after the conversation that we've had, but that our show is a family show.
Oh, right.
But it is. You get grandparents and you get kids watching our show. And a lot of families say to me it's one of the few shows that we sit down and watch as a family.
Everyone can watch, yeah.
It's on time this time, and we're not going to be affecting the education of young American people are going to miss school on Monday morning.
All right, Phil, have a great season, my friend. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll see you soon.
Yes, thank you.
Fun.
Discover the wonder at the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. See and experience more than ever before. For more information, visit aquariumofpacific.org. Or call 1-888-SHARKS2.
The Aquarium of the Pacific.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 8:54.
Thanks for bringing banjos into your report, too, Lisa.
Anytime.
Rob
Those
is here with the
ukuleles.
Oh, is that what it was? It was ukuleles?
Oh, for God's sake.
We, in the business, we call them ukes.
Okay. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat, and I need your help here, Ralph, because apparently I missed a bell on Serena Williams earlier this morning.
Twice
First report, I missed a bell on Serena Williams, and I got a very angry email from a listener who said, no bell for Serena Williams, what is wrong with you? So I was ready for it the next hour, and I hit it right on time.
Okay.
Then Matthew writes in and goes, Serena Williams, a bell, WTF! So you can't please all the people all the time. But I believe that the first listener was correct, and she absolutely deserves a bell. I just want to make sure I'm on the right track for the rest of the show.
Was that the listener who said we were racist?
Yes, that's right. Panama Queen says we were racist because we didn't get a bell.
Yeah. Then no.
No,
because that's absurd that we're racist.
But does she deserve a bell? I think she does. But I think what happened is...
but I want to not give one because that bitch wrote us in and said we're racist.
Right. Like, we went, oh, you know what? She's black, so we can't give her a bell.
So we're not going to give her a bell.
Oh,
like, we'd never do that in a million years.
What happened was, to be truthful, is I don't know what the birthdays are ahead of time until you say them for the first time in the morning. And in my mind, I had that split second of, wait, which one is the pretty one? And I was thinking, you know, is it Venus or is it Serena? And then the moment had passed, you moved on to the next birthday. That's the only reason I missed it, because I think Serena is very pretty.
I do, too.
Okay, so we're all agreed then. So
but I would not give it one because that bitch wrote in and said we were racist.
Okay. Agreed.
I just want to piss her off some more.
I'd like her not to have what she wants.
That's how I feel, too. Right. I want to deprive her whatever it is that would make her day better.
Understood.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on.
No, it's not on.
Race war.
No, there's no race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
There's no race
war. It's going down. It's going down.
All right.
Race war.
There's no race war. I just hate that woman who wrote in, regardless of whatever color creed she may be.
Okay. Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine joins us right out at the top of the hour. Here's Ralph.
There's your bell. There's your bell right there. What's wrong with the cameramen today? Why are they over there in the bushes?
I don't know. That sounds fine.
No, it doesn't. Come here, guys. There we go. There they are.
That's pretty loud.
It's not that much better than... Because these people in the car go, what's that sound?
And I'm going to turn it down. Because I don't want you to have what you want.
Okay.
See?
All right.
See how that works?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Nobody being nice to anyone. That's my perfect world.
Make sure everyone listening is miserable.
That's right. Hey, I'm going to make somebody happy, regardless of what Kevin wants.
How dare you.
I'm going to give some passes away to the premiere of Annabelle, the new horror film, which just looks terrifying. Phew.
Yes.
This little doll. a vintage doll that just starts doing terrifying supernatural things in a home that's been invaded by satanic cultists. Oh, what more do you need? What more do you need? It's filled with horror. Annabelle is in theaters everywhere on October the 3rd. However, I've got passes to the premiere of Annabelle. It's happening September the 29th at the TCL Chinese Theater. Five pairs of passes right now. Call me 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through, get a pair of passes to the premiere of Annabelle.
You are all going to die tonight.
It's a terrifying name, even. Annabelle. Lindsay Lohan! Speaking of terrifying names, made her stage debut Wednesday night in London's West End in a revival of David Mamet's Speed the Plow. At the time, I said, casting Lindsay Lohan in a stage play, period, let alone the work of David Mamet, who's known to be a very complex and difficult to perform playwright, may not be the best decision. Well, apparently I was wrong, because she stepped out on stage, forgot where she was in the script, started yelling off stage for her next line, forgot her dialogue, struggled with her performance, wrote dialogue down on a prop, which she carried for the rest of the show, and yet still couldn't get through it.
I'm sorry, that sounds like you were right.
Oh, that's right, I was right. That's what I meant to say, I was right.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, the show doesn't officially open until October 2nd, so I'm sure by October 2nd, she's going to turn out to be great on stage.
With another name.
I feel
and
bad.
And another face.
For the people who paid money to go see that. I wouldn't say, let's go see Lindsay Lohan in a legitimate
That's sort
play.
Of on them, right?
It is.
A little bit.
But I guess some people were curious. By the way, the theater was far from sold out, and I think the producers were hoping a prominent name would sell tickets, but that may not be the case, because people may not be idiots. And they might say, I don't think I want to go see Lindsay Lohan in a David Mamet play. I don't want to see Schwarzenegger do Shakespeare, and I don't want to see Lindsay Lohan do Mamet.
I would see Schwarzenegger do Shakespeare.
Is this a dagger I see before me? The handle towards my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal dagger, palpable to touch as well as to sensibilities?
All right, watch you do it as Schwarzenegger, but not Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Macbeth. TNT has picked up a new TV series from Steven Spielberg's production company. It's called Lumen. It's a fantasy drama about a famous author who winds up in an alternate world, the same one that inspired her novels.
So
she creates a fictional world, and then somehow ends up living in that world.
That's been done before. We've seen that before. In movies and TV before.
Okay. Yeah. So,
all right.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Could be good.
Could be good.
Could suck.
More TV news. Congratulations to Jimmy Fallon. He had the best third quarter in 6 years in total audience for the Tonight Show.
He's crushing it.
The ratings were good. He's also doing very well in the coveted 18 to 49 age group. Fallon's ratings outscored the combined ratings in that demo for Jimmy and for Letterman, for Kimmel and Letterman.
So, wow.
Those are pretty big numbers.
I know NBC's having a little bit of an uptick with their fall lineup. For the first time in years, they've got some shows that people were really excited about. But you got to give them credit for that Tonight Show. As popular as it's been for so long with a terrible primetime lineup, it still is the go-to late-night show of choice for many Americans.
I think the fact that it was the first and sort of the granddaddy of all late-night talk shows still carries a lot of weight with a lot of people.
But these 25-year-olds that are watching, they don't care that the Tonight Show's been around longer than the other shows.
Yeah, that's true.
But I still think it carries with it in America a cachet of being the preeminent late-night talk show of all time. And I think that carries weight regardless of what age is. You grow up in a world where the Tonight Show still is the primary late-night talk show and is the one everyone aspires to be and beat.
Terrorist, situation.
And the terrorist situation. That's another big part of it.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The tennis player Serena Williams is 33 years old. Screw you, lady.
She's a She's attractive.
She is, and we're admitting that, but we hate the woman who wrote in, said we're racist, so we're not giving her nothing.
Sorry.
Christina Milian is 33 years old. Catfish host Neve Schulman is 30 years old. Actor Jim Caviezel is 46. Actress Linda Hamilton from the Terminator series, 58 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:07.
Oh, is that the best theme on television?
Come on.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, ladies and gentlemen, is back for Season 2, premiering this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. We're very excited to welcome back to the studios Detective Amy Santiago herself. Actress Melissa Fumero joins us on K-Rock. Hey, Melissa!
Hey!
That's not annoying.
So
I'm leaving.
Let's start by
that
let's
would
start,
be awesome. That would have been,
if you stood up and walked out, that would have been awesome.
Shortest interview ever.
Let's start by seeing how you tell us that Sunday night is going to be good for your show.
I think Sunday night is going to be amazing for our show. We're in between Simpsons and Family Guy, two long-running, well-loved shows. I love them.
It is the most watched night of television.
It's true. And there's not a lot of other comedy on Sunday nights.
That's true.
There's a lot of drama.
A lot of heaviness.
A lot of heaviness.
That's true.
So Brooklyn Nine-Nine killed the animation block then on Fox, basically, right?
I mean, I don't think we killed it.
Stop coming so negative, dude.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
Are we fighting? Are we in a fight?
Why do you hate cartoons and kids?
We like Melissa.
Should we work on our relationship? We had her on here.
We had her in before. We had a good time. What's going on with you?
Yeah.
I love Melissa. I'm just trying to get current. Just trying to understand what's going on.
Take it easy.
Look, a lot of times you're on a show and your night is working great for you, like it was for you last year with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then it can be scary. It can be scary to move to a new night and not know what it's going to be like.
Change is scary. Change is a scary thing. But I think it's great. You know, like I said, there's not a lot of comedy options on Sunday night, and I think personally it's a great way to start your week, Sunday night.
I'm excited. So, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited.
I think it's good.
So what a first year you guys had. It must have exceeded everyone involved with the show's expectation, just in terms of how it hit the ground running, was a big hit out of the gate, won all those awards. I mean, you guys just must have been like flying so high when you wrapped.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. It was such an amazing ride and an amazing first season. I mean, of course, we working on the show loved the show and felt like it was something really special and kind of magical. And then for all that stuff to happen was just like, what? It's just so surreal. And yeah, we just were feeling really good at the end of season one.
There were so many other casts that felt the same way and got canceled or didn't reach, you know what I mean? Like didn't reach an audience.
Seriously.
They thought they had the same expectations, but yours is one of the few that actually hit the ground running and
And you just never know if it's going to work.
Do you think that's because of your acting specifically?
Yes.
I do.
Yes is the answer.
I think so.
I mean, you're welcome, America.
Do you get any hardware to put up at home from the Golden Globes or Emmys or anything like that? Do you get a piece of that?
I have a beautiful frame that's engraved with Golden Globe winner Brooklyn Nine-Nine in the year, and it's a lovely picture of all of us on stage.
All right.
So, yeah, and it's in my office.
I'd wear that as a necklace if I were you. I'd put that around my neck.
That's a great idea. Frame. Just like a thick chain.
Yep.
Rock it around.
This is me.
Go right to the here. Mall.
Golden Globe. What do you got?
Be like, what's up, people?
What?
Look. What? This happened.
You film in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Is it tough to do those New York City street scenes? You're Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Is it tough to find places to do that in L.A. that look like New York?
Luckily, Brooklyn's a little easier to fake than Manhattan.
Sure.
So we here in L.A. have a lovely warehouse district that even me, like coming from New York, I would be on a street and I'd be like, this looks like Brooklyn. This looks like Dumbo right now. Like there's just warehouses and big street. Like the street's a little wider, but other than that, this looks like Brooklyn. So I think they do a pretty good job. We shoot downtown a lot, and we shoot on different New York streets and different lots to kind of, you know, switch up the look.
And we have hipsters here that you can use. You can get them out there in their cardigan sweaters walking around playing vinyl on their portable record players, right?
There's like a plethora of hipsters in Los Angeles at our disposal, so it's quite lovely. Yeah, that really works out for us.
Your police partner on the show, played by Andy Samberg, I think I was telling you right before we sat down that it surprises me that he would move to LA to do a TV show because he seems like a quintessential New Yorker, like Seth Meyers or one of those guys who you just can't picture not wanting to be in New York.
Right. Yeah, he totally is. And that's kind of one of the first things that we bonded with in the very beginning, because I'm a New Yorker as well. And so we'd both have moments where we'd be like, wouldn't it be awesome if we did shoot the show in New York? Like, that would be so bomb. But yeah.
How long into the shooting did that dream die?
Oh, yeah, like...
Pretty early?
Yeah, day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, oh, the creators of our show have, like, families and kids and stuff.
Okay, we're here.
Stupid
okay.
family, stupid God. Kids.
So how do you make that transition to living here? And do you like it? Do you still
I like
wish
it
you could
now.
Go back?
Yeah. I like it now. No, I love L.A. You know, it's kind of nice to slow down a little bit because New York is so fast-paced and kind of exhausting.
Smells like pee a lot.
Smells like pee a lot. Right. You know, I don't miss those winters either.
Right.
I miss the polar vortex, which was... I was very lucky, very fortunate. And I love the food in California. I love Mexican food and like all the farm to table food. And I like hiking. It's so cliche to say.
Wow, you are a Southern Californian now.
God, don't tell anybody on the East Coast.
What about Andy? Is he finding it easy to?
He is. I mean,
live here as well or no?
Yeah, I think that he's adjusted, and you know, he's got a he moved to a new house. It's really beautiful, and I think he likes his car, and he has a lot of friends here too. You know, and his Lonely Island partners live here too. So I think that's really nice for him. But we both get really excited when we get to go to New York.
How many months a year do you shoot? You do 22 episodes. How long does that take?
So we started early July, and we'll wrap at the end of February.
Wow. That's like having an actual job, Melissa.
I know.
That's not one of those cushy show business jobs. That's real work.
That's real work.
Wow.
I work so hard, you guys.
Who in your cast did you see and hang out with in the hiatus? Anyone?
Yeah. I hung out with Chelsea a few times when she was touring doing her stand-up special. So
she's hilarious, by the way.
She's hilarious. Yep. And her special's coming out on Netflix, I think, like in November.
Oh, great.
So when she would be back in town, we had a couple play dates. We went shopping and hiking. And Joe Latrullio I saw a few times, too,
hilarious.
Over the break. Mm-hmm. Stephanie was out of town most of the hiatus, so I just talked to her a lot. And we all sort of kept in touch with each other.
Except for Andy, who won't accept anyone's calls, right?
He's the worst.
That's what I've heard.
You text that boy, he gets back to you a week later.
are you... I should rephrase this question. Is anyone cool enough to hang out with Andre Brower? I would say no. Like, I couldn't even imagine being that cool.
I mean, I feel like we just all would be super nervous about it. I remember last year I was kind of organizing like a Christmas gift for the crew. We were going to get them a food truck. And I had to get in touch with Andre to see if he would be in on it. And like I was so nervous texting him and I was trying to get Joe to do it. And then he was like, I'm not doing it. You're doing it. And I was just like, Mr. Brower, would you like to participate in the food truck for the crew?
If not, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
I don't
mean to impose, sir. And then he called me, and I was just like...
Sweating,
literally. Like, before I answered the call, I turned to my husband. I was like, Andre Brower's calling me. And then as soon as I hung up, I, like, texted Andy and Joe, and I was like, I just had a phone call with Andre. And they were like, what?
This is so funny to me because you guys are colleagues who work together every day.
But no.
Week in, week out on the same show. But you're still so, as I would be too. Look, we've had him on this show too, and you're so nervous.
He's imposing.
Because he's so cool.
He's so cool. I mean, we're all much more comfortable with him now, but it's like, you know, but I still call him Mr. Brower.
Sure. Isn't it so funny? Because he's one of those guys, and we do have to take a break here and come back more in a moment with Melissa Fermera. We're talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine returning Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. Isn't it amazing that he's had such a long career with so many great iconic roles? He's great in everything. But at this stage in his career, to do something like this that's completely different and to also nail it, that's what's amazing. I mean, it's a 180 from anything he's ever done before, and he's just as good at this as he is at all the other stuff.
He's annoyingly talented.
Well, good way to put
Well said. Well said. We'll take a break and come right back.
Actress Melissa Fumero in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, returning for its second season. It's going to be on Sunday nights this year, this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox, between The Simpsons and The Family Guy. So definitely make plans to watch that. So, Melissa, where we left off last year, it seems to me like there's a little bit of a sex scandal in the police station. Right?
Yeah. like potentially, maybe, I mean that's a little like deep, but at the end of last season, Jake confessed his feelings to Amy, romantic styles. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a cliffhanger there. Amy has a boyfriend, Teddy, and she's still with him in second season.
Uh-huh. And there was also a workplace hookup too, though.
There was a workplace hookup. Yeah, there was. That's right.
And that's awkward.
It's really awkward.
Well, if it happens, it's awkward. This is TV, though.
Yes. Yeah, they're pretending. These are actors.
Okay.
No, I get that. I get that. I'm just saying there's a lot of comedy to be mined in that situation. I think that gives you something to work with.
Oh, yes. The Gina and Charles thing. Definitely plays in the season premiere this weekend, and I'll just say that the story's not over.
Okay,
all right,
all right.
Little, gotcha. That's a little tease. All right, I like that.
That's all I'm allowed to say. Otherwise, they'll fire me.
I understood. Dave asked you about something that I have not heard of called the Samburger. What's that?
The Samburger is a burger for umami that Andy Samberg played, hence the name Samburger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious. It's got these little peppers that I can't remember what they're called.
They're called sport peppers, I'm told.
I think they're called sport peppers.
Never heard
peckers.
Of those. Peppers.
But they're like
sport peckers is very different.
Sport peckers.
Very different.
You guys.
You don't want to put that on a sandwich.
I've been awake for many hours.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
But they're like tangy and kind of spicy. And then I'm not a big pickle person, but there's pickles in the burger, but they're like crunchy and chopped up. And they're not like super pickly tasting. There's just like a hint of pickle.
Okay. So less pickle, more pecker is what you're saying.
Less pickle, more peckers.
Okay.
Good. And there's a really delicious like mustard, and it's on a poppy seed bun, and it's just like amazing. I ate two of them when they brought them to work.
Now, how come he gets a dish at Unami? How is that honor awarded to Andy Samberg?
I have no idea. I think they just called him and were like, do you want to do a burger with us? And he was like, yeah. And then
that's
going
to be a weird call.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
I know.
Somebody calls you and asks you if they want to do a burger? I guess your answer would be yes automatically, but.
Right?
I would have to think about, like, well, that's too weird.
It would take a moment to process
sure.
that. Yeah,
right.
For sure.
Probably happens to Andy a lot, so.
I know. Probably.
Now, do you have, you're Cuban descent, right?
I am. My parents are Cuban.
Do you have crazy Cuban food that you still make and eat?
I don't make too many Cuban dishes because if I really mastered those recipes, I'd make them all the time and probably be like 20 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I also get my fill of Cuban food every time I'm back in Jersey or Miami. So I just like fill my yearly quota every time I
gotcha.
Go. But I love a Cuban sandwich. It's like probably my favorite sandwich. I love,
is it better than the Samburger?
Yeah. Ooh, it's a tough call.
See?
That's a tight race.
Right?
That's a tight race.
I know.
I love my mom and my mother-in-law make a rocompollo, but they make it like extra, like kind of soupy. Not like a soup, but it's like a stew. It's got more liquid and it's delicious. I'll literally eat like five plates of it.
I feel like I need to expand my food palate. Whenever I talk to somebody like you who so obviously gets such joy out of some of these delicious sounding meals, I realize that I eat about five things. And I bet a lot of people are like that. They just have their go-to dishes that they have all the time, and they very rarely venture outside of that.
Gotta venture out, man. There's so much food out there in the world. Like, there's a lot of fish in the sea. There's a lot of food in the world.
Where is there a good Cuban place in Los Angeles? Have you found one?
There's a – well, Porto's Bakery is amazing.
In Burbank.
In Burbank.
Yeah.
And they do all the Cuban pastries and Cuban sandwiches. Really, really good. And
that's a good tip.
Versailles is good too.
Is that just down the street?
I think so.
I think it is. I think it's on Venice Boulevard.
Yeah.
Huh. Do you get to Abla sometimes on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, not yet.
Really?
Yeah.
You think if they're set in New York, that would make sense that they would let you do that?
I feel like that will come up eventually.
Just throw it in the next scene that you shoot.
Next time I'm improvising, I'll just throw out like my Spanglish, like my weird mixed up Jersey Spanglish.
Yeah. Do you know if they have any children's menus at these Cuban restaurants that you're at?
How dare you?
Kevin only orders from the children's menu.
How dare you? I told these guys that I like the children's menu because there's a lot of times that's where the best food is.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. Hot dogs. Come on.
No.
Peanut butter and jelly. Come on.
Okay. Peanut butter and jelly and mac and cheese are all good, but.
Thank you.
Normally when they're on the children's menu, you're not even getting like a good version of mac and cheese or a PB&J.
Yeah, that's actually kind of true.
You're getting like a plain, boring version of it.
A kid's version.
The most bland possible.
Yes.
You can't make me stop. I want you to know that.
I'm going to eat that whether you like it or not.
Don't like it.
Okay, all
and
right.
I'm going
to. We're going to have to agree to disagree.
Are we?
I think we
I'm sorry. I'm Team Melissa on this one.
Are we about to fight?
We're going
to
go outside after this interview and fight. And if I when I win, you're going to start ordering from the adult menu.
And I think we'll leave it there and let these guys get out to the parking lot and settle this once and for all. The season two premiere of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, one of our very favorite shows, is back this Sunday night on our TVs at 8:30 on Fox. We're so excited to see the show again. We've missed it so much, Melissa. We've missed you. We love you. Come see us anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Tell me why your TV show will fail now.
I didn't say anything that like that.
Now that it's moving.
Yeah, I think he came across as much more negative than he meant to.
I did not mean to come across as negative at all.
She was rocked back on her heels.
It was like three in a row, though. Like three questions in a row.
That's an annoying sound. Why is your show going to fail? Right. That's a bad night for television.
Tell me what kind of a spin you're going to put on Sunday night.
Yeah. Tell me what lies now you're going to say about why your show's good.
He's not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. Oh, it's got tagged. Someone punched me in the face. I don't even know what happened.
At least I didn't tell her she was pretty.
That's true.
At least I didn't do that. I left that one in the quiver.
Might as well.
I love Melissa, and I love her show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well,
and
why did you rough her up? Why did you rough her up so much?
No meaning at all to rough her up. I apologize if it sounded that way. I love her, and I love her show. So yes. I want everybody to be happy.
She was crying when she left. That's all.
Ralph, how are you going to make us move to Sunday night sound good?
Time for the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
What are you spin? Why your show's going to work now? With your annoying sound.
Jeez. That's an annoying sound.
All right, maybe I shouldn't be allowed near the guests, okay?
Just saying. Putting her on the defense right away.
And that's for somebody he likes.
I know.
Imagine if he didn't like her.
Then I apologize. Dave, get Melissa on the phone, please, so we can make sure she's cool, make sure she's not upset.
To us. If
we can get her on the phone,
to you or
she's
got to
be driving away right now. Let's talk to her and make sure we cool, okay?
Yeah, you ain't cool. I'm
right now. At least I can apologize if you really feel like she had her feelings hurt, because that wasn't my intention at all.
I don't think she got her feelings hurt because she's cool.
Right.
But
I don't think she really gives a rat's ass about two chuckleheads on the radio one way or the other. But I just know she came in to have a nice conversation and boom, boom, jab, jab, cross. She was like, oh, man, it's a bad first round. I need to sit down. Get my win back.
Bang, bang,
it was bang, bang,
bang, bang.
She definitely won the fight because she walked out of here a champion with her head held high.
Well, it's because we got children's menu over here to balance things out. Everything worked out fine. She felt superior again.
She looked at me with such disgust.
Because you're a child. You're a man child. There's your bully in the man child in the morning.
How dare you?
She came in the office and he really eats off the children?
No, she didn't.
She did.
Oh, stop it.
Dave, the King of Mexico, did that conversation happen?
Come on.
Dave says she did. Dave says she did. So she doesn't like either of us.
No.
Well, who could blame her?
Now she joined the rest of Los Angeles.
join the group.
All right, let's talk about somebody everybody loves. Charlo Green. You know who that is?
She's the Alaska pot lady, right?
That's right. She worked for that TV station in Anchorage. She was on the news there until she quit on air.
Oh, right. Yes.
In a very colorful way.
Mm-hmm. Some language that maybe shouldn't have been used.
Mm-hmm. F it, I believe is what she said.
Sure.
I have the tape if you want to hear it.
Go, sure.
And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
Drops the mic, walks out the door.
Yeah. I love the response of the anchor, by the way. She's like, but we apologize for that.
Apologize for that. We'll be right back.
She was caught off guard.
We'll be right back. And then they didn't go anywhere. She went, okay, so in our next story. Anyway, Charlo Green is back in the news now that she's devoted herself full-time to the marijuana business. Her neighbor, Tyler Gilbreck, said so much pot was being smoked in the apartment next door that Charlo Green was living in, that his 4-year-old daughter became sick from fumes seeping through the walls.
Wow.
First of all, I don't know how marijuana smoke makes you sick. Might make you high, but it don't make you sick.
Yeah, that is weird.
And so he had to complain to the building supervisor, and then he said Charlo began threatening him. He had to get a restraining order against her 2 weeks ago.
She's the most aggressive pot supporter ever.
She needs more pot in her life.
She is a very, very vicious pot smoker.
You don't find those a lot.
finally, she packed up her rolling papers and moved out of the building. So now that that issue is all over with. But the neighbor was complaining
about
it.
Hey, guys, we have Melissa on the phone.
Oh, we do? Oh, good. Okay, good.
All right, now, before we go to her, Melissa Ferrero, who just left as a guest.
Yes.
Ralph, your contention is what?
Early on in the interview, you just hit her with just a bunch of blows, made her put her on the defensive right away, telling her she was making annoying noises. What's going to happen to your show now? It's on Sundays. How are you going to spin that? Your show's in trouble. I mean, you really rocked her back on her heels. She recovered fine and took you on, but I thought you were a little aggressive early on in the interview.
I couldn't have meant less that. I mean, I love her, and I love her show, as I explained to you, so let's find out if I didn't mean to hurt her feelings. Melissa, are you there on the line?
I'm here.
Melissa.
Oh, I don't like the sound of this already.
Did Bean come on a little aggressively early on in the interview when you first sat down?
Bean and I are in a fight. Like, that's a thing that's been established.
Melissa, yeah, I feel so terrible.
My money's on you.
Yeah.
I feel so
bad. We're going to have to go to therapy and work on this.
Did we patch it up at all with some laughs by the end of the interview, though? Are we cool? Like, when you walked out, were things okay?
I really love to hold on to a grudge, so you know.
That sucks.
That's a Cubano thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm in a feud.
That's right.
That's right.
She's going to cut you now.
Oh, Ralph, I wish you hadn't pointed it out now, because now I'm just going to feel terrible forever. Now
good, you should. That's what I'm trying to. That's the point I'm trying to make. You should feel terrible about how you treated
but
her.
I love Melissa, and I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Imagine if you didn't love her, be nice to her then,
if you love her.
I thought I was being nice to her. I thought we were just joking around.
I will say this, by the way. When we took a picture, Melissa turned to me and said, "Are you going to smell my hair again?" Which I didn't even remember. I guess last time she was in, I smelled her hair.
Melissa, we apologize on behalf of everyone here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
We love you. We're just not good at showing it.
I love it. I love it. Okay, it's good. Great.
Anyway, we're sorry. And
we're sorry. We're really sorry.
You're
no
the best.
No worries. I love pretend fighting with people.
Okay, good. Okay, good. As long as we're pretend fighting. I feel better now.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Sunday night, 8:30 on Fox. We'll all be watching. Thanks, Melissa.
All right, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye. See, it's all good.
She's just nice.
Yeah. She's adorable.
Yeah. And you are not.
No,
I agree.
We are not. That is
you are not able to be adored. The definition of adorable.
That hurt my heart.
Well, don't be a dick to people.
I got
to
tell you, in our history, Bean does come off the meanest to the people he likes the best. I don't know why.
Because he has zero social skills.
But I think maybe he likes them enough that they'll sense that when he asks the question so he can go a little harsher. I don't know, but
he's met this woman twice.
She was fantastic last time, too.
Right, but act appropriately.
I thought, like I said, she's so funny. She's got a great sense of humor. I thought, hey, we're just having fun now, right? That's all.
He's a dick.
Come on.
He's a dick. He's a dick. He's a dick.
Well, I'm glad it all apparently is patched up, and she won't come back, but at least I can feel better about today.
Just strike another name off the list of guests we'll never see again. Right. It's getting to be pretty lengthy, by the way, boys.
It does seem to be one and out. One
and the Wall of Fame on the other side of the room. We just draw another line through Melissa Ferrero.
Hey, she came in twice, to her credit.
Well, the first time wasn't nearly as bad as this one.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. It's diminishing returns.
All right, I hear you.
People keep coming back to them and say, why do I keep going back there? Eventually,
now she's on the phone with her agent.
Oh, yeah. There's some publicists' heads that are rolling right now.
Seriously. She's asking if Heidi and Frank are still on at this point.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Neve Schulman from Catfish is 30 years old today. Singer Christina Milian is 33. Tennis player Serena Williams celebrates her 33rd birthday. Have we heard back from our racist listener? Or the listener racist?
I didn't see that. Have we heard back?
I think she's busy printing up boycott K-Rock signs because of the snub earlier this morning.
Okay. Actor Jim Caviezel is 46. Persons of interest. That's back already, right?
Came back.
It's coming back.
I didn't see it. I taped it, but I didn't see it.
So much new television this week. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with.
My DVR's got cramps. just can't handle the load.
Plus, now the Kings are back, so I was watching the Kings last night.
So it's preseason.
I know.
Oh, let it go in preseason.
No, it's awesome.
It's not awesome. It's meaningless.
Yes, but and you don't know half the players, but it's still fun.
Actress Linda Hamilton is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Next week we have some musical guests. We have Lorde. Very excited about that.
Oh, I love that.
And we have Weezer is going to come into the studio and perform live.
Wow.
You like the Weezer?
How about that?
Hey, Ralph, don't forget baseball playoffs start next week, too, so you got that.
La, 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 la. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's one of the worst experiences of my life.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm bored! I'm bored! I'm bored!
Roll another one.
Nobody likes this show.
Just like the other one.
Tie.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another.
To hell, and they deserve to be told that. They got every right in the world for me to tell them you're going to hell. There's nothing you can do about it, but have a nice day.
Roll, roll another one.
What the hell's that? What's up with that?
Just like the other one.
What is kale? Is that fish?
This one seems to be about.
Lay off the sauce.
Yeah. I don't have another cent.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cares.
Don't bogart that joint.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
Just pass it around.
You're a bust, son of a bitch.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Obviously. Okay, well, you're not dead, so I'm gonna go, but this has been so fun. Thank you.
You guys realize I can just leave, right?
Actually, no, you can't. We locked the doors.
Yeah, but if you do get out, I could use some more coffee.
Oh, yeah, me too.
There's nothing more to talk about. You gotta leave. Now.
And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but... I quit. All right, we apologize for that. We'll be right back.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.